United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Free information to help you relieve the overwhelming financial burden of an ongoing, endless student loan. If you are behind, late on payments, or even in default on your student loan, National Student Loan Relief can help you. You can cut your payments in half right away. National Student Loan Relief will also stop the harassing phone calls, wage garnishments, and even remove tax liens. But you have to call 1-800-293-4131. National Student Loan Relief has helped thousands of people just like you fix their student loan problem. Call 1-800-293-4131 for free information today. That's 1-800-293-4131.
Look out, there's a new type of food allergy, and it's the result of a tick bite. It usually causes an allergy to red meat. One day you're fine eating hamburgers and steaks. The next day, you're in the emergency room. The tick-borne allergy is more common in the southeastern U.S., but food allergy of all kinds are becoming more common. Nobody's quite sure why. There are all kinds of retail medical clinics now in drugstores and supermarkets, but the American Academy of Pediatricians says these aren't the best places to take your kids for medical care. So where should you take them? According to the pediatricians, take them to the family pediatrician. The store clinics, of course, offer extended hours and lower prices, so it could be an uphill battle for the docs. You've got a smoke detector in your home, but do you have a carbon monoxide detector? You should. Just last weekend, the manager of a seafood restaurant on Long Island died, and more than 20 people were sickened when a water heater flue became clogged. Deadly carbon monoxide spread through the building. It's not something you should be without. I'm Stacey Cohen. You can learn more at consumeraffairs.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, I'm back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And the number is 347-945-5229. It's 32 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. At the top of the hour, we're going to have Karen Moreau, and we're going to talk about fracking. Stix is in studio, and I want to talk about bullying a little bit. Stix brought up the Arizona issue, and I want to talk about that a little bit more. And then I got to bring in what's going on in California, too. I guess there is a rare disease that is popping up in children. It's only in California, and it looks like polio.
Yeah, I saw that. It's infantile paralysis. It only affects one limb at a time.
And they don't know where it came from. They don't know anything about it. And only kids get it. And it's only in California.
And and all of the children that have contracted it have been vaccinated for polio.
This thing in Arizona, I'm reading a headline right now. It says NFL could pull Super Bowl if Arizona religious rights bill passes.
Well, you know they threatened to do that too over the Martin Luther King holiday. Well, back in the 90s.
This is the problem. Arizona's really stupid. Why do they get into stuff like this?
You got me.
I mean, they do some of the dumbest stuff. Hey, we want to hear from you and jump in the conversation, but I don't understand why they do that. And the president is talking about downsizing the military. Did I hear that right?
Oh yeah. They're just insane. I mean that's just absolutely insanity. Every time the United States downsizes its military, we end up with a world war. It's just history repeats itself. And China is building a blue water navy. Do you know what a fleet ballistic missile submarine is, Tracy?
No, I do not.
That's the one that carries the missiles that can drop a nuke on D.C. from any place in the world that's covered with water. And the Chinese are building them about one a year.
Okay.
And the best way to kill a submarine is with another submarine. And we are cutting our attack submarines.
What? But maybe, you guys know, I follow enough stuff, but are we? I mean, okay, let me, Wusa. Hey, Syria, this Syria thing is still brewing. It's the Israel thing is still brewing. We're still having problems over there, but we have some issues over in the Middle East still. Am I correct?
Oh, lots of them.
So what are we cutting?
Well, they want to cut. They want to increase the cost of housing to active duty personnel. They want to increase the cost of medical care for dependents to active duty personnel. They want to cut the military commissary system, which is the grocery stores on base that are run by the military, where they sell groceries at cost to active duty and reserve and retired military people. They want to cut staffing levels.
We don't pay our people enough as it is.
No, we don't.
And we don't do what's right. I mean, I listened to the governor's speech the other day, and he says, if you can drive a tank in the military and you can drive a truck in the military, why do you get out the military and we make you go back to school?
Absolutely. I have a friend.
That makes sense.
He's a senior citizen now. He was the crew chief on fighter aircraft in the Vietnam era. When he got out of the Air Force, he was going to have to go to school for 2 years to get the paperwork needed to do the exact same thing on civilian aircraft that he was doing on military aircraft. Does that make sense? The only military people that can transition from military to civilian without going to further schooling,
right,
are nuclear trained personnel and your special forces people that go to work for like BlackRock
and IT people.
No, even IT people, a lot of times they demand further training.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And the number is 347-945-5229.
If you get out and you go to work for a defense contractor, you're probably all right. But the civilian world, they just look at your DD-214 like it's Greek.
IRS warns Obamacare tax must be paid with tax returns.
Yeah. Oh, just wait. Just wait till these people start getting their don't get their $5,000 refund that they used to get, and they get about $2,000 because the other $3,000 went to pay their Obamacare.
Why are they paying Obamacare? Then they get insurance. Because you got to realize if you don't take the Obamacare, which is a huge high deductible with a nice solid premium, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, I know a young man just signed up for Obamacare. The premium is $49 a month, but he's got a $12,000 deductible. He makes $20,000 a year.
What is the deductible based upon? Because I don't know. What is it based on? Is it based on your income? Is it based on your health? What is it based on? I hear men are walking around with maternity insurance.
Yeah, it's required.
Even on the males?
Yeah. Okay. That's what makes this so insanely expensive. You can't pick and choose what coverages you want to carry on yourself. You have to carry a cookie cutter coverage.
Whose idea was this?
Under Obamacare, Tracy, you have to have maternity care now.
But I don't want to have a baby.
My wife and I have maternity care, and she had a hysterectomy 4 or 5 years ago.
But I don't want to have a baby.
But we're still paying for it.
You got to pay for the people that can't pay for it.
I don't even know if you're paying for the people that can't pay for it. It's all insane.
It's just wacky, and that's what I'm saying. I've got to go back to this bully thing because it's really in my head. Why is it that we are dealing with this? And don't we think that American people are not being bullied by its government?
Yes, we are, but we want to be.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do. We get the government
we
demand. If the majority of people didn't want Obamacare, how do we end up with it?
They didn't want it.
Then how did we end up with it?
You had to pass the bill to sign it, to read it, to know what was in it.
And why can't we get rid of it?
I don't know.
And how far is it going to drive the average family's economics to the point before they rise up and change their leadership?
I don't know.
I mean, you've got I think I saw a picture the other day. Everybody that was standing, with the exception of Nancy Pelosi, I think, in the picture with the president at the signing of Obamacare, is retiring.
I don't know why. Good morning. Your mic is on. Local call. Is it me?
I don't, but I've been trying to pull up Blog Talk. Here we go. I found it.
It's up. Hello? Are you talking? No, I can't.
I hear you talking, but you can't come in.
Hold on. I got to go find somebody. I wonder what that is.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I can't hear you. Can you hear me now? Listen, let me take a break real quick, because that's going
to
be a cause of problem if we can't hear.
You're going to have to call an engineer.
Can you hear? Oh, I know now. Call back.
Tracy Oops. Had the phone off the hook.
Oops. Hello. What are you laughing at, Sticks?
I thought I was the only one made the rookie mistakes.
Yeah, I'm still a rookie. Well, listen, I'm going to take a break. Oh, there he is. Hey, good morning. I made a boo-boo. How are you?
I hear you now very, very clearly. I'm good. Now, I'm going to disagree with you a little on this subject about Arizona, because when I was working here locally in child welfare, we had a family that was involved with the swingers group, and they wanted to get married. And they had, the gentleman had a fur G-string, and the woman wore some kind of like little negligee. And I saw the pictures because we were investigating a case. They had a wedding cake that had phallic symbols on it instead of like columns at the top. And so you know that that was specially made for them, because this was 20 years ago. Nobody would have done that in a routine bakery or, a seamstress in a regular shop. So they found a way to get what they wanted for this unusual wedding. And I think that people are creative enough, and you figure in the gay community, I'm sure you have talented enough people that they could find people who would make the kind of cake or dress or suit or, you know, whatever that they want. And I think as I was reading about this, there was a church that was fined because they would not rent out their either it was a fellowship hall or I don't think it was even in the church. I think it was a like a recreation center.
Okay.
And they were fined because they said that they would not rent it out for a same-sex wedding reception. And there were photographers who were approached, and they very, kindly said, we think we would have a difficult time photographing your wedding because this is, not in keeping with our beliefs.
But don't we have that anyhow?
No, they were fined. This happened in, I believe, this is what started this pursuit in Arizona. They faced fines for refusing, gently, kindly refusing. But nonetheless, the people said, you're denying me a right that could have been met someplace else. Now, maybe the writing of this legislation needs to be worked on, but I think there's a tie-in. If you stopped and think, and I agree with Sticks, say you went to a Muslim restaurant and you said, we're having a party, and in our family we celebrate with roast pork, and we want you to make roast pork. We want this on the buffet or whatever. And these people said, well, this will contaminate and defile, everything in our kitchen. We can't do it. Would they have the right then to refuse? You think about this, and it ties back into the health care. Why should you have to pay for pregnancy costs or birth costs if that's not something that you foresee for yourself? This is where we're all being forced to do things that are not in keeping with either our morals, values, our religious creed.
But see, as they've made these people, they've made gays a protective class, just like African Americans. And I had a fear when they did that. And I had my congressman, who's Tim Ryan, I had him on, and he said that he wouldn't do it, and he lied straight to my face. And they made them a protective class. and they try to say that this is, you know, they were born this way, and this is their rights. And they, instead of them being, you know, human rights, they made it to where it was, they could, where we are right now. And I had issue with it then. And see, I you know, I have a right to refuse people if I don't want to serve you. If I don't, but I guess Arizona may be wrong. But see, what they're doing is they're targeting states.
The law as written does not say gay. It doesn't specify gay. It just says a person has a right to refuse anyone's service based upon their religious beliefs.
Well, you know, stop and think. We used to have these signs. I hope they're still there.
They're still there.
No shirt, no shoes.
No service.
There are clubs, exclusive clubs, that if you come in and you don't have a tie and a jacket, you can't get served.
You can't be served. There's signs out here in Ohio. Like I said, there's signs here in Ohio that says, and we have the right to refuse service.
Right.
Well,
maybe
they're going to have good legal counsel that encourages them to be creative in
their... But it's too late now.
And that's all this law says, is that if you claim religious bias, you can't be sued by the person you refuse service to.
See, I didn't think it put religious in there. I thought it just meant...
No, it's religious.
It said religious.
See, I thought it was you can refuse to participate
in
something
like that. I mean, I could go to a banquet hall owned by Muslims and demand that they allow me to put crucifixes up all over their banquet hall, and they can't refuse me.
Well, that's not true, because see, what you have to realize, see, this is something that we need to understand. Muslims don't even rent out. They have private clubs.
But some of them have restaurants.
Yeah, but they don't rent them out. If it's on the menu, it's on the menu, so you can't bring outside food in. That's where that comes in. You follow me?
Or I can go to a Jewish banquet hall and demand they hang swastikas all over the place.
You can't.
But you'd think somebody with decent values would never put somebody in that position.
Because a Jewish banquet center would not have that type of. I'm trying to think of a Jewish banquet center or something that is owned by someone that's Jewish. Jewish banquet. I mean, they give you their legalities up front. And they tell you what you can and cannot do. Some pieces don't let you decorate at all.
But what you're saying is, you can't put if you own a banquet hall, say, you can't put in your rules for using our banquet hall that we do not do receptions for gay weddings.
You cannot say that. See, that's where the issue lies.
But what's the difference between I don't do gay weddings and I don't let you hang swastikas, or I don't serve the KKK?
Because you don't write down you cannot hang a swastika. We just don't allow you to decorate at all. When you rent my banquet center, you cannot decorate at all.
I haven't seen one yet.
Yes, you do. They ask you what kind of linens you want, but as far as you putting anything up, hanging anything, you cannot do it. You can put your centerpiece on your table.
What if my centerpieces all have swastikas on them?
They usually let you just go ahead and do that. Because if you take it in, take it out. But, I mean, you know, and usually they don't come out. It doesn't happen. The Aryan Nation doesn't come out and go rent from who they would call a dog.
But you have no idea what will happen in the future because of these.
If I'm looking, but now that you said that I can destroy somebody financially with a lawsuit, I'm going to go.
Go where?
I mean, not me personally, but I can see the Aryan Nation going to a Jewish business and just suing them until they destroy them financially.
Well, that's it. This is open.
I mean, this is about destroying people financially over their religious beliefs. That's what this is all about.
I'm just trying to figure
either
out.
Accept me or I will destroy you financially.
But my question is, if I'm a baker, mm-hmm, and you ask me to bake a cake for your wedding,
mm-hmm,
I don't have a problem baking your cake, even if you're gay, for your wedding.
But I say I want this special kind of cake?
But
something offensive.
What I'm saying is, when you come in, this is what I'll tell you that I just can't do that.
But then that's...
I may not... No. I may not have the skill to do that. I mean, you follow me? I mean, these are my cakes. I will bake a cake for your wedding. I will rent you... When you call up and you want to rent something, I'll rent it to you if you're gay. Gay money spends... I mean, I don't have a problem with that.
I understand that.
And I'm not going to...
But there are people... There are people that are so devout in their beliefs that they will not do business with those people.
But that's just wrong.
I don't think it is. If it's against my religion to put two men or two women on the top of a cake...
Then if it's against my religion for a black person and a white person to get married, I don't want to bake your cake either. It's the same way. I'm not going to sit there and ask you who are you marrying because I don't care.
But what if they asked you to put something very offensive?
If you look at, hate speech is not allowed to be done anyhow. I mean, there's a fight against that. You know, things that are, because you got hate laws. But what I'm saying is, if you come in and you're getting married, if you're marrying your dog, I will,
put a German Shepherd and a bride on top of the wedding cake?
No, you have to pick out your own toppings. I don't sell those. Those cake toppers I don't sell. I'm not going to buy them, and I don't sell them. But if you want to put, put a dog and a man up on top. I don't sell Rock'em Sock'em robots either. But if you want to put that on top of your cake, you can. I don't do that. If I'm a florist and you want me to come and to buy your flowers for me and you're gay and you're getting married, I'll sell you my flowers.
But there are some people that won't. Should they be forced?
If they're doing it just because the person is gay, yes. They should be forced because if they're going to do it for me, because if you start nitpicking this, we're going to start nitpicking this to where we're going to be back to where we're talking about lunch counters again.
I don't think so.
Why not?
Because the lunch counter thing, by and large, was a force of the state.
But again,
it wasn't a personal choice.
And so is this.
No, it's not. This is force of the state forcing you
to sell
to somebody you don't want to sell to.
And the force of the state was telling you, and the force of the state was, and most of the laws that were on the books, the majority of the states did not have those. And anybody that is really, really versed in black history can probably give you this a whole lot better than I can. That was done by the will of society.
But was it a statute on the book?
Not always, no. Even when it became illegal, they said that they weren't going to follow the law.
But, Tracy, what if it causes you extreme anguish because you feel you're condoning sin?
Listen, what I'm saying is I don't like how you live, but I'm going to treat you like a human being. And I'm not going to come in and belittle you because I detest how you live. I'm going to respect your lifestyle. I'm going to respect you even if I don't like it. Let me put it to you this way, and this is the only analogy that I can come up with. If I am living with a man and we are not married and we come visit my mom is going to feed him.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's going to treat him right.
Right.
My mom is going to, she's going to let him know that she don't like me shacking up with him. And she's going to make sure that he doesn't sleep outside in the doghouse.
Right.
But where he will not be sleeping
is
in the same bedroom with me.
Right.
He might even not even have privileges to come upstairs.
Right.
Because that's not where he belongs. Even though we live together, we even have children together.
Right.
And what I'm saying is when we start opening up this rabbit hole, we are opening it up to too much. And I don't like laws that say because of my religious belief, because I can start a religion that says anything.
I know, but see, your mother has that right in her home to say.
Right, and she does. But when
if she had a business, shouldn't she have that same right?
But we need
other places where this need can be met. It's not like... How do I want to say? It's not like they're being deprived.
But you have to understand, I've been discriminated against, so I have a different view.
Well,
it doesn't make a difference. I felt discrimination.
Your life experience is different than mine, absolutely.
And so, in feeling discrimination, I look at this a little bit differently than maybe others.
Well, you know, remember before when a young girl would find herself pregnant outside of marriage, they did everything very quietly. They never had a shower. they never did anything to draw attention.
Right.
Now today it's very commonplace to have showers, and everybody goes along with it, and we have become just very comfortable.
And you're right, and I disagree with it. But if you want to, but if you, if I have a rental hall, and you're having a shower for your unwed child, mm-hmm. and it's against my religious belief, I'm gonna. If you have the money, you're gonna have a shower there. And I don't see them discriminating against this. Do you?
Not now.
Right now, my pastor just got in hot water because we don't do public christenings for unwed mothers. So on Sunday morning, before the assembly of the church, mm-hmm. we do not do christenings if you are unmarried.
Okay.
Okay? And so a young lady came, and she wanted to have her child blessed. And she called the church, and they told her, no. She can come in on Monday, and one of the elders will come in to the chapel, and she can bring her whole family and, all, and the godparents and all that, and they will bless the child. But in an open assembly, it won't happen.
Okay.
And he was on the 6 o'clock news.
Oh, my.
It was on the 6 o'clock news and all over Facebook, all in the Christian magazines, all over everywhere, because the man who buried Whitney Houston wouldn't christen a child that was a single parent, from a single parent.
Hmm.
And, you know, that was his right. But it was in a church assembly. But if, you know, if I'm not, we got to be careful.
Well, you know, and I don't hate these folks. The thing is, I don't want all of us to become so comfortable in accepting this that we fail to realize that this is unacceptable.
It's going to be an individual mandate, but we might as well get past that, because most people are desensitized now to this, to sin, period.
Well, you know, I feel very badly for business, like, say you had young girls or young boys working for you as hosts and hostesses at a banquet hall, and you're exposing them to something.
My children wouldn't work there.
Well, I'm saying up to this point, they've been free to go to receptions and, you know, maybe deal with people who drank too much or were, you know, inappropriate some way. But now it's just changing so many things because we're trying to legitimize sin.
But that's just it. And you don't it is not for us to judge the soul of a man. It is up to us to love the soul of a man and to be respectful of it, even if I don't condone the sin. And we as Christians need to make sure that we don't condone the sin, but love the sinner.
Well, that's it. But how are they going to learn, Tracy?
But you don't do that by saying, because you're living this lifestyle, I don't even want you around, so I won't bake your cake.
But see, the argument that I'm hearing from a lot of people is, by baking your cake, I am participating in your sin.
You're not participating in my sin. What it is I'm sharing commerce with you. I don't sell two men cake toppers. Now, if you want
the photographers, they were very nice. The article that I read, nice people, and I saw an interview on television with them.
I'm a photographer. And the thing is, and I'll tell you, and this is now a photographer is a little bit different.
But they were sued, and they were fined because they wouldn't photo. And in a nice way, they said, we don't know that we can do you justice to capture the kind of pictures you want because of how we believe.
And let me say this. I'm going to say they were probably targeted
mm-hmm.
by the gay community to make a stand so it would become public.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not. And the reason why I do not agree with the photography is because I have to be there. See, my cake, I can send the cake, drop the cake, ship the cake. I do not have to be there. Flowers the same way. But making me be in somewhere that I'm going to be totally uncomfortable is against my constitutional right.
And see, that's what it's my understanding. That's what this law is supposed to protect.
Yeah.
See,
people that say like the photographers. Or even preachers that say, you know what, I will not marry gay people.
Now that may be different. But what I'm saying is, if I sell wedding gowns, and a man comes in and wants to buy a wedding gown, if you want to buy the wedding gown, I'm going to sell it to you.
But you're going to have to fit it for him.
That's fine. I'll fit it for you. Whatever you want to do. And when I say this, I'm saying this because There's no discrimination.
But you can't.
No, no. There's no discrimination in my skill.
But
so if I go into, let me say this, if I'm a plumber
mm-hmm.
and I work for a Roto-Rooter, will I go into your home and if they're gay? Yes, I will, and I will unplug your toilet.
Right.
But I do have a problem if I have to go to your wedding and participate in it. And as a photographer, that's what I would have to do. I got to take a break. I'll be right back. And at the top of the hour, we'll come back and have this. I got to switch over for a minute. I've got a caller calling in.
Okay, I'll let you go. God bless you.
God bless you, too. I've got a caller calling in to talk about fracking, and then we'll come back to this.
Fear of discrimination. The NFL says it, too, is watching the decision closely.
Next year's Super Bowl is set to be played in Arizona. Supporters of the legislation say it's about religious freedom, but opponents say it would allow discrimination. Questions about safety for astronauts. Today, NASA announcing findings of an investigation into a spacewalk that went wrong last summer after a helmet filled with water. ABC's Scott Goldberg.
ABC News has learned of the spacewalk that nearly drowned Italian astronaut Luca Parmitano could have been prevented. On July 16th, Parmitano told Mission Control his helmet was filling up with water outside the International Space Station.
It's hard to tell, but it feels like a lot of water.
They aborted that spacewalk. Now the NASA panel investigating what went wrong will reveal that same spacesuit had a leak 1 week earlier on July 9th, but that information never made it up the chain of command. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
New CDC report finds a sharp drop in obesity rates for young children ages 2 to 5. That reduction came in the past decade. A big jump in prescriptions for painkillers at VA hospitals. There's a new effort now to change the pain management program.
These are pretty new things. These are pretty new ideas. We owe it to them to find ways to treat their pain.
Dr. Gavin West at the VA says some of the ideas include pain-free alternatives. This is ABC News.
Attention taxpayers, if you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, it's a fact that they have the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, and even your freedom. If you've received a letter from the IRS, don't ignore it. Your problem will only continue to get worse. Here's the good news. The IRS has recently released new programs geared at helping struggling taxpayers where you may now qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe, including penalties and interest, or you may qualify for other special programs. If you're being audited, have years of unfiled tax returns, have a federal tax lien, or worse yet, are being issued a wage garnishment or bank levy, listen carefully. Authority Tax Services expert staff of ex-IRS agents, attorneys, and CPAs can immediately protect you from IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. Call 800-239-3837. That's 800-239-3837. 800-239-3837.
New report out today says new home sales last month were up more than 9%, a bullish sign for the housing market. It's happened again. New reports of lasers pointed at airplanes. ABC's Aaron Katursky's been looking into this.
I've got a laser pointing at us.
The pilot of Delta Flight 1201 to Atlanta told air traffic control in Boston a green laser was aimed at his plane.
That's 1201. You still see that now?
1201 negative. It only lasted for about 2 seconds.
Other pilots were warned.
Be advised, green laser reported on departure from 33 left.
The FAA traced the lasers to Newton, Massachusetts, just west of Boston, where police said a caller reported seeing someone pointing a laser at drivers. Earlier this month, the FBI announced a public education campaign and a reward for identifying people who point potentially blinding lasers at planes. Aaron Katursky, ABC News.
The stock market averages are up so far today after small losses yesterday. Richard Davies, ABC News.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, just in time for the auto show.
Now is the best time to drive a Ford, especially the 2014 F-150. Built with the power to get the job done and the fuel economy that can't be beat. Online at drive1ohio.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
9625. Welcome to it, and we're glad you're here. Chris is out today, by the way. I am author and columnist Austin Hill. Always a pleasure to sit in for Chris Plant. And what do you make of this? Now, I have to tell you, as a matter of full disclosure, as we were preparing for the broadcast today, and I have said,
I'm having some technical issues, so I've just got to come back up. I don't know what in the world happened there.
Well, I thought we got preemptive.
No, the button wasn't pushed. The button wasn't pushed. There was the satellite was still on, and the satellite feed actually does something else. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Listen, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to talk about
hydraulic fracturing.
Yes. No, I'm going to come back and talk about Arizona and bullying
after we're done.
After we get done with Karen. Our guest, Karen is on. And Karen, are you there? I think you dropped and came back on. I was having some issues. How are you this morning?
Oh, good morning, Tracy. I'm great. How are you?
I'm well, and welcome to Tracy and Friends. How are you? And where are you calling from? What area? Part of the country?
I'm calling from Albany, New York, and
well,
that's our state capital.
Are.
It's pretty cold again. We had, you know, a little bit of a warm spell last week, but we have still have at least a foot of snow on the ground here from previous storms. And it's, but you know, I grew up in this area. I grew up on a farm only 30 miles south of Albany, so I was used to what I loved were great snow-filled winters as a kid. So this just seems like normal to me.
I am. You are a woman who is in the hydraulic fracturing business. How did that happen? Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I actually came to this whole issue a couple of years ago, Tracy. As I said, I grew up on a farm, and I actually own my own farm 10 miles outside of Albany. Most of my family, I'm one of nine kids, are actually in farming. But I also went to law school, became a country lawyer, practiced law for many years in rural New York, and represented farmers and landowners on a number of issues affecting their property. Several years ago, many of those farmers who were friends of mine in the southern part of New York, we call it the Southern Tier, approached me to seek my help because New York was in a state of moratorium on high-volume hydraulic fracturing, and they were not able to lease their land to gas companies. And so I got involved representing them, I actually went into Pennsylvania with a farmer who's a friend of mine who had shut his farm down because he couldn't make a living in farming. He was driving a water truck for one of the gas companies in northern Pennsylvania. And I went touring the area and really became completely engrossed in what was happening there in northern Pennsylvania. What I saw before my eyes was a rural area that had been very much like the southern tier of New York, a great deal of rural poverty, upstate New York communities similar to Pennsylvania in decline, young folks leaving, a very grim picture economically. And in Pennsylvania, because of the Marcellus Shale and the development that was taking place there, I really saw an area that was being reborn. It was starting to boom. Help wanted signs everywhere, activity, small businesses thriving, people getting decent family-sustaining jobs. It was really a miracle in my view, and I thought that this would be something that would be wonderful for our rural people in the southern tier of New York. And I became very impassioned about it. But I also felt that the energy industry really needed to do more to educate the public on this issue. And I am from the Albany area, which is our state capital. I actually had worked in the state government for a few years. So I had a sense that people weren't getting the true story. And I approached the energy industry and talked about this. And the API, which I represent, PI of New York, which is also called the New York Petroleum Council, American Petroleum Institute, is the largest trade association in the world for the oil and gas industry with over 550 members. And we have offices in many of the states, including Ohio. API of Ohio is very active. And I really took the job with API because I felt I would have a great opportunity to become more involved in this entire issue, one that I think is exciting and hold so much hope for people in this country in the future.
And
so
you
that's
know,
a little bit about me.
I appreciate that. Well, you know, we're from Youngstown, and if you've done any research of where we are, there's oil in their heels. And
mm-hmm.
we are at the beginning of the fracking, exploration, wet gas. We're at the beginning of this in this area. But they tell me we have more oil and gas underneath our feet than all of the Middle East.
Oh, you know, Ohio is a fabulous place to be, in my view. It's part of this whole picture on energy development. And as you pointed out, and you have what they call wet gas, which is New York, which we're still not developing. We're still under a moratorium due to the policies of Governor Cuomo. bottom line is, you have wet gas, and wet gas is very lucrative. And the reason for that is wet gas can be refined, and there are a number of byproducts that come from wet gas, including butane and ethane. Those byproducts are used in the creation of plastics. And when you know, this is what people, again, don't quite realize. If you're sitting in an office or you're, you know, a host of a radio show or you're like me in my office today and we look all around us, we have computers, we have iPods, we have desks, we have carpet. Almost everything we touch comes from initially petroleum or natural gas.
Absolutely.
Or food or fiber. You know, we are a nation that became strong really on the backs of hardworking people, but also because of the resources that we could, you know, pull out of the ground
mm-hmm.
or cultivate in the form of food and fiber.
So how do we
it's
begin?
An exciting place.
How do we begin? Because I am big on making sure that people have the education and getting people informed about what it is and the regulations, the safeness of it.
Right.
When I talk to people and I talk to engineers that are inside of the industry, and they talk to me about the automation of actually the drilling of it and the precision.
Right.
It's not like they're going out there just, you know, blowing holes in the ground.
No.
I mean,
no, you're absolutely
so
right.
It is, and Ohio has a very good common sense governor who makes sure that it's regulated well. And the oversight, so if you break the law, you are held accountable to the law. And getting people to understand it, because we keep on getting people here and telling people that, you know, their bathrooms are going to blow up.
Right.
And so clean water. You're not going to be able to drink your water anymore, ever again in life, because of fracturing. And the well water, the stories that we get here is just unbelievable.
Right. This is the co-host Sticks. I mean, I live out in the oil patch. And if you drive down the road that I live on, and almost any county or township road out there, you see an oil well every quarter of a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot make people understand that every one of those shallower wells was hydraulically fractured.
Right.
And how do we make people understand that this new technology or this new deeper veins of gas and oil that we found, we're really not doing anything much different than we always did with these pump jacks that you see that have become part of the scenery?
Exactly. You bring up a great point, and again, this is part of the whole communication of the reality of fracking. You very clearly have identified the fact that fracking's been around for a very long time in this country. Since 1949, over a million wells have been hydraulically fractured or fracked to develop oil and gas, without a single incident of groundwater contamination, by the way. That has been testified to by numerous officials in the regulatory agencies. Lisa Jackson, Obama's EPA administrator previously, presently Gina McCarthy, state regulators, and every state does have an oil and gas regulatory scheme, in addition to numerous regulatory rules for clean water, clean air, emissions, transport of any wastewater. All of these things are covered and regulated by the states generally, and then certainly some things like injection wells, which Ohio does have, are regulated by the EPA. But the point is, as you say, this has been done for a very long time. Right now in this country, we're close to 70% of the oil and gas being produced today is produced using the fracking technology. But Tracy, as you point out, you hit the nail on the head. It's the precision drilling and the improvements in the technologies where these companies can now pinpoint the resource very far under the ground, over a mile under the ground vertically, and can go in a horizontal direction over another mile, that has made this shale energy revolution possible. And that kind of technology comes from both the private investment of energy companies. It comes from the science, the engineering, the people that, you know, have the degrees, but it also comes in the field from the people who have been working for years and years in the industry under all kinds of elements to perfect these techniques. So it's unfortunate, and I think a lot of the misinformation is the result of the fact that there are people out there who have something to lose financially by the shale gas and oil boom in this country. And those typically are people who are heavily invested in solar and wind projects, or they're heavily invested overseas, mm-hmm, in the Middle East.
And I have a question for you.
Go ahead. Yes,
because I want to know, and if you can't answer, just say, Tracy, you've gone too far. It is my understanding there are a lot of people that are overseas that they are actually helping to fuel the fear of Americans because they don't want America to be energy independent.
Well, you haven't gone too far. Sadly, for example, there was a movie that came out where Matt Damon was a star, and he was also part of a producer. And this is typical. We have Hollywood elite, Hollywood celebrities that are being – that movie, Promised Land, was funded by Abu Dhabi. And it was meant to present the oil and gas industry in a very negative light. And this is typical of these organizations. The Saudi prince recently, several months ago in an AP story, came out and said, the energy boom in America is a direct threat to OPEC. There's no question about that. The other country that this is a serious threat to is Putin's Russia. Because they are a huge producer of gas and oil. And, you know, this situation that is unfolding right now in the Ukraine, what's at the heart of it really is energy development. And you have people seeking freedom, and they're trying to escape from the oppression of Russia, who want to be able to have control of their resources. This is also something that's taking place in other Eastern European nations, such as Poland. Hmm. You know, in the past, Russia, and their gas companies are owned by the state, by the way. They're not private companies. They're owned by the state. Putin has turned off the gas in freezing weather to countries like Poland when they didn't do what he wanted them to do. So this is very relevant. What we are doing in this country and on the North American continent and among free nations is highly relevant to the geopolitical status in the world.
How do we get people to become more educated and more in tune to the truth of what's really going on here? Because it's deeper than don't use deodorant, we have global warming and it's going to kill you, and not
right.
You can't drink the water.
Right. Well, I think so much of it has to start in schools. And even on the elementary level. You know, I have five children ranging in age from 30 down to 14. So I've been through, you know, schools, and I see what the schools are teaching here in New York State. And it's very unfortunate, but I see an awful lot of propaganda, including anti-fracking propaganda, even in elementary schools. And it's even worse when it comes from science teachers. So what happens is if we're not able to, you know, introduce the facts and the science in the schools, we're really going to be challenged as a nation. And the whole outlook for opportunity that our industry offers is tremendous. API will be coming out to announce next week an update in a report that was done last year by IHS, which does economic studies, on the opportunity in the oil and gas industry for the African American and Hispanic communities. It is tremendous. But one thing is that's very clear. We will have the need in our industry, in the oil and gas industry, to hire many, many people, because we're just hitting the tip of the iceberg with energy development in this nation. We will need the workforce, and that workforce has to come. It has to be a trained workforce. And training can take place on many levels. Not everybody is going to go to school and go to college and get a PhD and become a geophysicist. Most people, however, if they can get through college and get a solid background in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, if they can do that and then get a certification through an oil and gas program, and many of the states, including Pennsylvania, and I'm familiar and toured these schools, are offering these programs to people where the companies are then waiting for these people to come out of the program and are immediately hired. We pay 7 times the minimum wage on average in our industry. So my point
is
that we've got to start.
7 times 7, right?
Yeah.
48.
Yeah.
So wait a minute, then you
that's
add the cooler.
That's 100 grand a year.
Hold on, because I'm doing the math in my head. So
yeah,
why
well,
we keep
you're
on
good.
Talking about
you
minimum
actually...
wage job? Okay, go ahead.
Right.
All right,
so
go ahead.
You know,
sorry.
We hear all this rhetoric, and I get really frustrated, Tracy, because rhetoric is just wasted hot air when it is not backed up by facts and it's not backed up by action. So many politicians love to talk about so-called income inequality. Well, we have the answer to that, and it lies within energy development. There are so many different types of jobs. Some are the hard physical jobs that are on the drilling rigs and the fracking sites, but there's a whole bunch of support jobs, you know, mm-hmm. people that are need to be technicians, because as you pointed out earlier, this is a highly technical industry as well. The ability to drill precisely, the ability to locate the resource, the ability to do the things we were never able to do before isn't because fracking is new. It's because the technologies in horizontal drilling and identifying where the resource is and being able to pinpoint that so that you can drill economically, that's making the difference in testing and science. There it is.
Now I have a political question for New York for you. It's my understanding that natural gas rates in New York City are just astronomical. And if New York, and we know New York is sitting on a pile of natural gas, why is there no political will in the state to overturn the nonsense and go after it?
Well, there's a couple of things I want to clear up. First of all, natural gas prices, including New York City, have come way down from a few years ago. Presently, if you read the articles lately in like the Wall Street Journal and in the news in the last few weeks, natural gas prices have spiked because of the cold mm-hmm. snap that's being felt
right.
across the nation. The reason for that is even though we're seeing tremendous increases in production, for example, the Marcellus Shale in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is now, like, I think, the largest or maybe the second largest gas field in the world because of this. They're producing record amounts of gas, and the price had come way down. The problem is the pipeline infrastructure has to catch up.
Yeah,
we
I'm
need
to ask
be
you
able
about
to
that.
Get,
right.
Yes, we need to get the gas to the places that need it. So New
Isn't
England,
that the
for example.
Pipeline?
Well,
the
you've
Keystone,
got Keystone.
Keystone Pipeline would solve this, am I correct?
Yeah, Keystone is another issue altogether. I mean, you've got Keystone, which would run and bring Canadian oil down to refineries in Houston and would create over 42,000 jobs alone just in the building and the maintenance and related refinery jobs due to Keystone. But in the Northeast, for example, where we have a tremendous population center with New York City, the New England, you know, the cities of Boston, Philadelphia, et cetera, New Jersey, there's a huge market and demand for the for energy. And the challenge has been, especially going into New England, they can't get, there aren't enough pipelines to bring all this gas in. There are a number of pipeline projects that have been proposed and are in the early development stages, and then some, you know, have actually gone online. One called Spectra went online from Pennsylvania into New York City. Right off, and this is something your co-host brought up, tremendous opposition in New York City. You know, these people who are fighting fracking are fighting pipelines. And if you ask them, and I have asked them, you know, these are people that will show up protesting everything. But I've said to them, so tell me something. If it means that we are able to deliver low-cost energy of the cleanest burning fuel known as natural gas, and we're able to eliminate heavier heating oils and improve air quality at the same time, in other words, we can bring down the cost of energy and heat and electricity for urban dwellers, we can improve their air, or you're telling me you're still against it, and they will say yes. They will say, we need to go to solar and wind, and we want energy to cost more, because if it doesn't cost more, we're going to be, you know, we'll never get to that renewable economy. That's their mindset. This is what we're fighting out there.
Well, I mean, yeah, the pipeline infrastructure, my folks live in Carroll County, Ohio, which is right now the center of the Utica boom here in Ohio. And the amount of economic activity and the pipelines, because all of our oil infrastructure in the state of Ohio was set up for much smaller amounts of production. So even where
right.
we have a pipeline, it might be a 4-inch, and we need a 12-inch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's just so much there's so much labor that's going to be needed in the coming years to drive this. But
right.
What I can't understand with the renewable people is you can't make them understand the associated destruction that comes with the renewables, because the math on solar is just absolutely insane when it comes
yes.
to what it takes to produce it versus what you get out of it.
Is it that they don't understand it, or is that they understand it and don't care because they have their own agenda?
Well, I think that there's probably both, Tracy. So many of these people are agenda-driven. Other ones are just like sheep following, you know, a cult leader. I mean, it really is a cult of sorts.
It's a religion.
It is. The environmental movement is, frankly, it's paganism. It's a cult. It's a religion. It's a substitute for maybe, you know, traditional faith. It's really, there's so much to this, but it's very dangerous. It's very harmful to the to this country. And I've seen this for many, many years in different forms. I also see that, sadly, at least in New York, a number of wealthy foundations are financing these anti-fracking and anti-fossil fuel groups. They're
true.
Funding it. And these are people, you know what? They've got theirs.
Right.
They're living comfortably. They are the 1%.
Right.
And they are really
very much
keeping...
So.
Yeah, and they're keeping other people down. And I see... This is what I mean by hypocrisy. I'm a strong believer, because this is really how I grew up. I grew up in a rural community that had a good mix. It had agriculture and it had industry. I pretty much grew up on a farm on the Hudson River in the shadow of 3 thriving cement plants. Thousands of people worked there, and I had a wonderful childhood. It was a middle-class community. People had solid jobs as a result of industry, and there was a balance because, you know, we all need each other. You know, when one industry fails, it typically affects the business climate of everyone else. And what I saw in my own hometown as a result of environmental zealots, overregulation, they basically shut down the cement industry in the Hudson Valley, and it impacted everybody else. Most of the friends I went to school with left the area. We have really an aging population because there's no opportunity for young people. We have such a high property tax burden because there's so few people left to pay the bill. And the biggest business there now has been public entitlements. And it's just, I see this trend, and it's happening across all of upstate New York. And you know what? It doesn't have to be like this. There's opportunity out there. There's wealth under the ground. But in places like New York and our policies, our governor's policies, we can't touch it. It's a very sad situation.
I want you to make sure that you let people know where your articles are, because you have articles that are online, and you do a lot of blogging, and so let people know where they can find your readings and so that they can reach out if they'd like to.
Okay.
And
you can go. Go ahead, Tracy.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say you can go to EmpireEnergyForum.org. That's a New York-focused website on the issues I'm talking about. And then if you want a broader national picture and you want to find out information across the country on things I'm talking about, you want to go to EnergyFromShale.org. You can also Google me, Karen Moreau, or write to me at...
For your last name. Cause...
Right. It's M-O-R... You can write to me at M-O-R-E-A-U-K at API.org. And if you want to learn more about what's happening in Ohio and get engaged in this issue in Ohio, you should Google the API of Ohio. And my counterpart in Ohio, Chris... and his team out there will be more than willing to help you. We do a lot of things with communities. We educate. We reach out. We speak to groups. We make arrangements for companies to host tours, you know, for people, for example, in the media, and policymakers to learn more, community leaders to learn more how this works. So we are a very transparent industry, and it is in our best interest as an industry to do things well. We are accountable to people, and we are accountable to shareholders. Unlike the opposition, they can say and do whatever they want, and nobody seems to check.
Right.
That is true.
And if you want to make the environmentalists really crazy, there's a theory that I've been reading a lot about called the theory of abiotic oil. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
No.
The theory of abiotic oil says that oil and natural gas are produced deep in the earth with chemical reactions between heat, temperature, pressure, and the minerals, and that if you drill deep enough, that it's an unlimited resource. And there's a large body of research that's starting to come out to back that up.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring that up to these environmental people, it just makes them insane because they just don't know how to handle something like that.
No, and, you know, this is the wonderful thing about science is there's things that haven't even been discovered yet that we will discover, that some bright young person somewhere is going to discover that will be the next key to our success as a nation.
Karen, my dilemma is getting young people engaged in the hope that the life that they see is not the life that they have to have, especially when you have new industry that's coming up. And then when I say young people, I'm talking about, let me say, maybe even older people, because some of them cannot see past what they see in front of them. And that's a dilemma that I think a lot of us have right now. Even when I look at New York and the policymakers, if people knew what was being withheld from them, they may do a little bit better. But people in New York are, you know, across this country, but in New York, they are very, very passive because they really don't believe that they can have a better life and that there's a whole other industry that's going to give them opportunity to where you don't have to hate the 1%, you can become it.
Right. Tracy, you mentioned something that is very, very important, and I wanted to share this with you. In the last few months in New York, we have been doing a lot of educational outreach in some of the upstate New York cities like Buffalo and Rochester. These were once industrial giants where they had steel making and other industrial manufacturing, and they had a very solid middle class, but they have seen such a decline. And both of these cities I mentioned, Buffalo and Rochester, have very strong minority populations. And, for example, in Buffalo, we have been doing a lot of educational outreach among young minority men and women. And I say young. I'm talking about from the age of 16 through their, you know, college years, where we have educated them on how this works and what the opportunities are and what is the path one must take to get there. We have also been talking with the ministers of a number of the large churches out here, primarily African-American churches, about what we do and about what the future looks like in our industry. And the response has been phenomenal. The conversations go something like this when you talk to some of these young folks. They say things like, you mean I could get a job like that? You mean I could make $100,000 a year? You mean I don't have to work in McDonald's? Not that there's anything wrong with working in McDonald's, but I mean as a career. In other words, the light bulb goes on in their heads when they start to see this. And we're doing much more work in a very stepped-up process. So as we educate about how this works, the next step is bringing them on tours in Pennsylvania where they will see how it works. Then we will bring them to a cryogenics, which is liquid cooling of natural gas, factory outside of Pittsburgh, so they can see that aspect of it. And there's a tremendous level of excitement and interest, and also a sense, and when we were in Rochester, the population there, we're actually working with a number of older folks who once had decent jobs in the manufacturing sector but have seen the decline and are looking for hope and looking for what's the replacement for that. And they are saying things to us like, you know, we have not been included in the decision making on these issues. We didn't know anything about this, and we want to be at the table. Because if we are not if we're not at the table, we're on the menu.
Yeah, pretty much it.
This is what they're saying to us in the conversations we have as we move into more and more communities to educate and to deliver information. And
Karen,
so
I will be in
this
touch.
Is the way it has to go.
And because I have a lot, I mean, Youngstown is a steel town, and that New York-ish situation and scenario that you gave us is the same that one we had here.
Absolutely.
And we have opportunity here, but we have to begin a better PR program. We have to begin a better educational program so that people really understand that this opportunity cannot be hijacked by people who do not have their best interest at heart.
Exactly, and you know we've got to walk the walk, and I'm from a background of, you know, you're judged by not what you say but by what you do, and you know this is how your where your value comes, and our industry is very quiet historically. And the reason why people never heard about fracking before and other things is because it's been done for so long, so well. Nobody ever heard about it.
Yeah, you never had any screw-ups. Are you familiar with Phelan McAleer's documentary, Frack Nation?
I sure am. I met Phelan McAleer a number of years ago. He and his wife, Ann McElhenney, have made a number of films. They're investigative journalists. And the film you're referring to, people should see, is Frack Nation. And McAleer is an interesting guy. He came from Northern Ireland, from a coal mining area, and saw what happened with the environmental groups destroying the coal industry in his country and the devastation it caused on families and their ability to make a living. So he's driven by a passion for this sort of thing. But he did an investigative piece called Frack Nation, which is very interesting, where he goes in and he really debunks a lot of the myths that were put out by the movie Gasland. That was a propaganda piece, which actually was very influential, unfortunately, in shaping this issue. So I highly recommend it. McAleer and his wife are very independent folks. If you ever have the opportunity to have him on your show or
he's
his
been
wife.
On, hasn't he?
Yes, we've had him.
He?
We've had him here, yes.
Yeah.
He did we did a showing, the local oil and gas people did a showing of Frack Nation last summer here.
Well, that's good news because I think even when people see that, and he goes in and he questions some of these people who have made claims about pollution, and they run away from him because they don't want anyone to know the truth. You know, they're able to hide behind this propaganda.
The biggest problem is people don't understand coal bed methane. There are places in this area where you can dig a post hole and get natural gas.
Right.
And people don't understand that. My daughter's in Wyoming. They just drilled a water well on the mine that she works at. They ended up cementing it off because there was so much coal bed methane at like 350 feet.
Right.
They couldn't get rid of it. And people don't understand that. They think that it's magic or something. I don't know what they're thinking.
They're thinking what they've been told. Remember, we have designed a society who does not critically think. So
right.
We watch television, we have this imaging, they show you a gas well and they light a cigarette and everybody blows up.
Right.
And they say methane gas. And so in my mind, I've been conditioned to believe that that's how it works. And we go and reiterate it through other movies and then through education. And then someone comes along and says, you don't want these people to come here because they're going to kill you and no longer going to be able to drink water.
Right.
And that is a problem. And until we get people to begin to think and to educate themselves and to learn the industry, because it is, there's a learning curve to it, and there's a lot to it.
Right. Well, even the compressed natural gas vehicles that
absolutely.
I deal with, I have to first convince people that they're not driving around with a bomb in their trunk.
Right.
Because natural gas is actually safer as a transportation fuel than gasoline.
And we don't know that, because when we see natural gas blow up, it goes on television, and that's what we see.
Right.
And that is something that we're going to have to convince people, that they're going to have to open up their eyes and not believe what they've heard. Because if we start indoctrinating them in elementary school, then when they come out, they believe what they've been taught. So it's very hard to convince somebody that the sky is now pink if you told them it was blue. And so that's where we come in and begin to start having this open dialogue on an ongoing basis. Because if we don't, we lose. And this is a great opportunity. And we have so many forces working against us. Even the presidential administration works against what we're saying. And they are working against what we're saying. And it's not because they don't know better. They have a different agenda.
Right.
And we need to understand things are agenda-driven, not fact-driven, not truth-driven. And people are going to be able to have to discern the difference between somebody's agenda and what's really going on. And that's
I think you hit the
are,
nail on the
lie.
Head. Yeah, exactly, Tracy. Exactly.
And then somebody having the guts enough to stand up and saying they're telling us a lie and proving it to them and understanding that hot water is hot
right.
and cold water is cold.
Well, that's one of the things that drives me crazy. You know, we have an oil well on our property, and I invite people out all the time to take a look at this thing. It's a couple of hundred feet from my water well. And you'd be surprised the people that'll say, well, I don't need to see it because I don't need to know. I've been told that this is evil, and so I don't need to go see it to prove that it's not.
And we've been conditioned to do that. Karen, I thank you so much. I will be in touch. If I can do anything to advance this cause, please keep me informed. You have my information.
Yes. I'm very, very pleased to have joined you today, and anything I can do to help the people in Ohio, again, I have a counterpart there at Ohio API, and they do a lot of fine work out there, and I can put you in touch with them as well.
Please
do. The kinds of things we're doing here in New York, they're doing in Ohio too.
Please do.
Thank you, Tracy.
Because we are a partner, and I am a partner to the advancement of Ohio, and I believe the Marshallis and Utica Shell is going to be our foundation to do that, because I believe that will give us an opportunity to create jobs, create wealth, and so that we don't have to worry about minimum wage.
Right.
They're not worrying about minimum wage in North Dakota.
No, they're not. We ain't heard a word from North Dakota.
No, I just saw a thing the other day. The guy on a taco shop had a sign out said, if you're willing to work, the lunch period will pay you $15 an hour.
I just got to find a way to get people engaged and give them hope so that they will stop doing drugs.
Yes.
Yes. Because drug tests are still mandatory. To
yes.
get them to start really thinking about STEM programming,
mm-hmm.
and then let them understand that if they put their mind to it, they can actually achieve success. Karen, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Listen, I'm going to take a break real quick. I'm going to come back for a few moments, and then we're going to chat for a few more minutes, and I'm going to go to the top of the hour, and then we're going to talk about Arizona again. We'll be right back.
The most important is yours. That relationship isn't important because you love gas stations, oil changes, and car payments. Nope. You love all the other things your car drives you to. You call it life. Safe Auto gets it. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO, 1-800-SAFE-AUTO.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, just in time for the auto show, now is the best time to drive a Ford, especially the 2014 F-150. Built
Hello?
And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I thought they were going to talk in the chat room because I opened up the mics for Diva and Stanley.
Is Diva in there?
Diva's in there.
Stanley's in there?
Stanley's in there.
Stanley's in New York.
I know.
Stanley, what do you think about what our guest said about the fracking in New York? He's not.
He's in there.
Oh.
He's just being quiet.
I was outside. I have to do some more research. I couldn't believe what she said. Like you, little Tracy, you always push the agenda to make me think. I was a person very, there's an environment subject and things like that. So I have to do my research. She seemed very competent, the person you brought. I'm very happy you opened my eyes to that. I didn't know that. I'm going to do the research, like she said, and find out like what she has to say.
Please do. And let me say this. This is where having you in New York and finding the information out and being able to go and tell somebody else, because what happens is when you have a liberal media, a liberal agenda, administration, and a liberal state house, the information that goes out, they do not tell you the truth. And so
and that's why I love about your show. You always, even though sometimes I don't agree, but at least there's one thing I do agree with your show is like you bring to make me think, and you bring the truth, whatever. Truth.
I need because see you're in IT. Do you really?
Yeah.
I don't know. You're always talking about the 1%. There's programming that is so intricate and so designed just to fracking and hydraulic fracturing. And there's only a limited number of people who actually can do it.
Right.
And if you can get in that business, you would be a commodity just by being, one, a minority, and then, two, being able to do it. And you could write your own ticket. But they're not telling anybody this.
When they're drilling it, when they're horizontal drilling an oil well now, Stanley, they know where that drill bit is within 5 feet at all times. I mean, it's just the technology is just amazing. And when you do your research, always consider your sources on both sides.
But there, I mean, what's happening is they are limiting Americans from becoming successful because they're not giving Americans the option so that they can actually become the 1%. Because, see, the 1% does not want you to be competitive. And I was let me get this out. They were saying I was watching something. I was watching Perry Stone in the middle of the night. Last night after my happy song woke me up in the middle of the night. And he said, you have to understand that when you look at who is telling you what, the 1% does not want you to have the education to compete with them so that you can become the 1-2%.
Right.
So as long as they're the 1% and they keep you down, and we look and you have this agenda within our administration and within our society who keeps on telling you about inequality. But when the man came this morning to repair my refrigerator, he said, if you know anybody that's hiring, let me know, because we're hiring because we need people. But the problem that we have is they've got to be able to pass the drug test.
Yep.
And he says, we're having that kind of problem. And so people are trying to hire people, and these are not minimum wage jobs.
No.
And so that you can actually learn a skill, so that you can actually go into an industry, and that you can actually become your own. But we're not teaching that.
I don't know a single human resource person in the Mahoning Valley that's not looking for people. It's estimated there's 3 million skilled labor jobs go unfilled in the United States every year. Jobs are there. It's just that the people to fill them are not.
The people
that are qualified to fill them. There are people there.
But the thing is, they're not trying to get people through the system so that they can be productive, because you need an underclass. You have to understand, right now in the city of Youngstown in Mahoning County, let me say Mahoning County, we have prisoners, low-level non-violent offenders
patching
holes.
I saw that on the news.
So let's really look. Can you say chain gang? So when you have people who are low-level offenders, who are nonviolent, who are incarcerated, who are now patching roads for you,
they're not even incarcerated. They go home every night.
They're working their time off for free. But if they had been productive adults, they would not be institutionalized, nor would they be on paper where they had to come and report to go patch for free. But they would go and patch for money.
Right.
And we don't understand and Michelle Alexander, I believe she's a bleeding heart liberal, but this is what I say about a lot of things. I can say when people are right, even if I don't agree with them completely politically. If you look at what's going on, we are training and or raising and or educating our young people to become institutionalized so that we can make them the new slavery. And until we change that, we will always be where we are. But that's our fault.
And yes, we're creating a permanent underclass. From marijuana legalization to poor education. I mean, the number one complaint I'm hearing from my friends that hire people is, you got high school graduates can't read a tape measure.
But again, that's you have to understand, it is by plan. High school students come through school, they can't read a tape measure because we are failing them, because we will not fix them, because we need a underclass to become our slaves. And that's what, because slavery people who are enslaved follow. People who are educated lead. And until we change that, we lose. Now I have to take my top of the hour break, so I'm done. You want Stanley, you want the mics on or off? You and Diva.
Leave them off. He'll come back.
Okay. Just start singing so people in the chat room that are listening will know that you're still there. You're listening to
Stanley. Stanley. Hello? Stanley?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, you left me for like 10 minutes with dead air.
SOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Like that was
and
a
now,
problem.
Here's Tracy Winbush.
You see, Diva, it doesn't seem like it's working. All morning they've been having problems.
Be proud of your heritage and learn from the lessons they give.
Yeah. For us to grow, we back, let go of what's been keeping us apart.
Now the time to put the past behind. Gather on and kind, make a brand new
back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm sitting in here on Wednesday with Styx. You know, he is really radical. And I didn't play the happy song.
Nope.
I'm playing...
That's because
Love Has No Color by the Winans.
That's because the boss is going to make you pay the royalties out of your own pocket if you keep paying it. I heard that.
Oh, you heard that, huh?
Yeah.
Love Has No Color. So I wanted to play that because I want to go back. I want to talk about Arizona. And Styx and Diva are on in the chat room. And I want to talk about Arizona. It's a hard topic, and if you guys know who I am not a proponent, and or do I stand up for, and do I condone and or sanction and or give my blessing to same-sex marriages. And I believe that same-sex marriages, same-sex unions, I believe that, you know, fornication, lying, obesity, drunkenness, all of it, I believe it is sin and it is an abomination unto God. And I don't believe that we should actually have it, and we should not sanction it and govern it as marriage. But with that said, I have to say that we should also treat people with respect and with dignity. And the reason why we are at this juncture right now is because in the past we chose not to do that. So with the case in Arizona, I know it does not say gay people, but it is targeted toward gay people. And because I have felt the fangs of discrimination and know how it hurts to the core, I've seen it on movies and I felt it. I've felt the intensity of not being treated as a person and treated as something that should be defiled. I have to say, if you are the law is bad because I don't know, whoever wrote the law was very, very, and with most laws in most states, you don't look at things all the way through. They write it on emotion. They write it because of something, and then they present it, and they start to try to pass it, and it's really crazy. If you are a baker, and I'm having a wedding, and I'm gay, or I'm black, or I'm Aryan Nation, and I'm going to eat your cake, then I've got to sell you a cake. If I don't sell tree toppers, then I don't sell tree toppers or cake toppers or whatever they are. If I don't sell them, then you can't buy the one from me, and so you have to go somewhere else to get your cake topper. And if you're going to pick it up, even if I have to deliver it to your, wherever I'm going, I have no problem delivering my cake to your position, your place. If I'm a caterer, I will drop the food off. But if I have to actually stay at your function, then that is totally different. You know, it's like saying that you're going to have a Ku Klux Klan meeting and you're going to make me come because you hired me and I've got to come and watch you put on your white sheets and go through your ceremonial and talk about me like a dog. I got issues with that. So making me – now, if you want to eat my fried chicken at your Ku Klux Klan function, I'm going to sell you fried chicken because I'm a capitalist, and I'm going to let you have the fried chicken, and I'm going to pray over the fried chicken that God will change your heart. But
what in the case of the baker?
If the baker is
say you don't sell same sex cake toppers, but you sell other cake toppers, can you
buy the cake topper?
Can they sue you for not carrying the kind of cake topper they want?
No, you can't sue me for not carrying the cake topper that I don't buy. If I don't buy, I don't buy same sex cake toppers. I don't have those in stock. Sorry.
But
I don't,
you're
even
discriminating
stock
against me because I want one and you didn't. You
then
didn't
you
stock
to,
it because you got all other kinds.
No, then you need to go online.
That's not discriminating against someone. That is basically, not every business has to have everything that a person needs in stock.
You need to go online and buy it. Call to Amazon.com.
Right. If I don't
free
carry that
for Amazon. Go ahead, Dee. I'm sorry, Dee.
If I don't carry it, I just don't carry it. And if I don't agree with same-sex marriage, then I'm not going to carry it. Now you're going too far if you're saying that I need to carry it. No, it's my business, and I'm going to produce what products that I feel necessary to sell. Now, someone not wanting to sell someone a cake because they're same-sex,
that's a different story. But now, me as a photographer, if I have to go and be a part of your wedding, then that infringes upon my rights.
So how do we differentiate with that within the law for that?
Styx, I'm not going to answer that because I don't know. All I know is
that's what this law is all about. This law is to protect people.
Then they should have thought it through. But this
I haven't read the text of the law. I don't know how much of this that we're seeing in the media is hype and innuendo and twisting what it says and how much of it is actual verbiage of the law.
But they should have read it.
The law is the law as written is actually very ambiguous. Richard, they should actually thought it through, because if you simply disagree with someone based upon your religion and you are a business owner, you have the right to refuse them service.
But we have that. We have a law here in the state of Ohio that you have the right to refuse service, and it's not been challenged yet. But my issue is, if you come into the store and I choose not to serve you because you're white, that's a problem. Well, my religious belief says, because if you look at some things that were said back in the 60s about blue-eyed devils, mm-hmm. reverse discrimination could actually begin to happen. So I'm not going to serve you what I have. You can't have my burger because you got blue eyes. You're a white blue-eyed devil. I don't serve none of my burgers to white blue-eyed devils.
Ohio,
and it can go back to,
has,
I don't sell, huh?
Ohio has discrimination. We have what is called we have a organization that you can go through that will fight certain that type of discrimination. Now Ohio has what is called is the right to refuse, but it's based on health, and it protects the business. Like if you go into a gas station and you don't have shirt or shoes on, that could be a health issue. You go into a grocery store, you don't have shirt or shoes on, it could be a health issue. It's not based on you. I'm not like you because of your skin color or your religion or anything else. It has to do with safety issues. Arizona is something completely different.
But the issue with Arizona, and I have not read the law and dug into this deep. But superficially, as I know it off the top of my head, there is a problem if I have to be in attendance.
So you think that a black tailor should be forced to make KKK hoods?
I'm saying if I have the materials, I'm saying that if I have the all the materials, and that's what I do, and I specialize in robes and hoods, and that's my business. But now, if I don't have all of the details that you need, I'm sorry, I don't do that kind of work.
But if you make, say, you make choir robes, and the KKK walks in there and says, "We want KKK robes," you should be forced by law as a black tailor.
I would do it.
I would sell you the KKK robe. I would sell it to you.
Absolutely. I'm going to sell you.
You're making money.
Now, I'm going to charge you.
Yeah.
And you're going to pay. But absolutely. I'm going to be a KKK sewing somebody. And anyway, what you do? And I'm going to keep one just because I did it. Absolutely. But I just got a text from somebody, or an instant message from somebody, and it says, neo-Nazis and the KKK have a history of hiring black people and Jews and other minorities and to cover their real intent. They've been doing it for years.
So a gay couple walks in here and says, "Tracy, we'll give you $1,000 to marry us." You going to do it?
No, because I have to be there.
See, I don't.
See, it's one thing for me to sell you a goods and service, a product. It's another thing for me to sell you a service. And a service means I have to actively participate in that action. So they can actually separate that law.
So if you were a caterer, then it would be okay to supply the food, but you wouldn't supply wait staff.
That's correct. Because my wait staff would have to be in attendance there.
What if it was a birthday party for a gay couple?
They just
not
got...
Not celebrating...
A gay couple, if it was a birthday party, that's up to the discrimination of anyone. I mean, it's like I've got a cousin who's gay. So do I not go to his birthday party because he's gay? I'm not going to stay. But then I go to weddings and don't stay.
Right.
And I'm going to heterosexual weddings and don't stay.
Yeah, I know all about that.
Yeah, well, I'm good at that.
You were busy that day.
I'm not lying, am I?
No.
I don't stay.
Right.
I'll go to the wedding, but as far as the reception and all that, I don't stay for all
you
that.
You don't do chicken dances.
Oh, I do the chicken dance.
Oh,
I don't do other dances, but I do the chicken dance. I throw down with the chickens. I ain't never, and I'm going to have a chicken dance at my wedding when I get married. Absolutely.
Who's going to give you away?
I don't know. I haven't gotten that far yet. I got to find somebody to be given to. That's a problem.
I'll get with Jeff. We'll get right on that.
No, y'all. No.
E-Harmony, here we come.
No, I don't do E. E. God ain't in the E. And the number is 347-945-5229. I don't do Christian Mingle.
No,
I don't do Christian Mingle, E-Harmony. I don't do the internet thing. If a man can't find me on his own and he got to use a computer to do it, then, you know, sorry, I won't be found.
World Tracy Winbush is here 5 days a week from 9 a.m. to noon.
But it's you don't single out people based upon their belief. So if you come in here and it's like a Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A didn't say that he was not going to
serve black people or gay people. He said it was against his religion.
I'm going to might be against my religion, but I'm still going to treat you right. I'm going to feed you my food, and I'm going to be nice to you.
Well, that's right.
And he hires gay.
But I'm not going to go to your wedding, sit back and kick it, and celebrate your wedding as a photographer. That's not going to happen. You got the wrong girl. 8207, your mic is on.
Yeah. Hey, Trace, how you doing? Good morning.
Hey, Red.
Hey, listen, I hate to say this, but I just about kind of choked on my coffee while I was listening to your program. Trace, I'm surprised to hear you say that you would sell, to me, I'm going to say your integrity behind a dollar.
You missed
and
the point.
And that's what, when I heard you say what you said pertaining
you missed the point.
To the Ku Klux Klan. Wait a minute. Knowing that the history and what they stood for and stuff like that, just for a dollar, you said that you would do this.
You missed the point.
The point is,
I have a Walmart. And the Ku Klux Klan comes into Walmart and they buy my widgets. Am I going to sell it to them? Yes. Absolutely.
Well, you said that you would make, I mean, I would think that you wouldn't even consider something like that, knowing the history.
Again, you don't. That's the problem. You can't have it both ways.
What do you mean you can't have it both ways?
See, you want me to not make a Ku Klux Klan hood.
Right.
But you want me to be able to go anywhere that I choose to go, and them not discriminate against me for being the color of my skin.
What does that have to do with the Ku Klux Klan thing?
It has a lot to do with the Ku Klux Klan.
Explain.
You can't have it to where they have to give me what the goods and services that I want. But when it comes to them, I can't give them the goods and services they want because they don't like me. You can either choose one way or the other because that's a slippery slope. Either you're going to have to serve me and hate me, and I'm going to have to serve you and hate you, or we can't serve each other. But you can't have, you've got to serve me and you've got to do what I want you to do. So if I go into a place and they are a part of the Aryan Nation or the Ku Klux Klan, and I decide that I want them to make little black dolls marrying to little white boys, because I go into a place and they are part of the Aryan Nation and or the Ku Klux Klan, and my daughter is getting married, or my daughter is married, and she's getting ready to have a baby, and her husband is white, and my daughter is black. And they are a doll maker. And I want them to put together a family unit that has a replica of the family that's going to be there. So they're going to have this beige baby and this black mama and this white daddy. And I don't want them to tell me that they can't do that because their religion says that they don't like interracial marriage.
Yeah, right. But what I'm saying on that, though, Trace, is the fact that you're saying what you just said, I can understand if it was vice versa, but knowing the history and stuff of our people in general, and I'm using our people that understands what happened in general.
But you got to have equal protection.
How could you just put that aside and just look at it on those terms like that?
Because you did not hear what I said. You did not hear. I said, if I,
But you did not hear what I said. I said if I have all the elements that I need, no, you didn't. You listened to what I said, but you didn't hear me. I said if I have all the elements that you need to build this, then I will not discriminate against you. Because I'm going to treat you, I'm bigger than you. I'm going to treat you better than you treat me. And if you're bad enough to come into my dress shop, I'm bad enough to serve you.
Ooh, go ahead, Tracy. Go ahead.
No, I'm not.
I'm bad enough to serve you.
I think that's a shame.
I know, and you got
to
understand.
You have to have some type of.
No, I do.
Women, Trey, somewhere you have to have
what? I'm going. Because when at the end of the day,
Trace, you're not letting
I'm
me
go
say
back,
nothing, hon.
But honey, listen. At the end of the day, when I get done taking your money, I'm gonna go help somebody get a good education, so they can use it.
Well,
so they don't have to do certain things. It's the same day.
You went to another thing, though.
No. This is the problem that we have.
You have made a statement about pertaining to.
And what I'm saying is that is the problem that we have. Yes, I will take.
I don't have a problem with it because I wouldn't do it.
Then that's you.
I think there's probably thousands of other black people that feel the same way I do. Now you
but
may
you
have
go,
your.
Hold on,
your
but you gonna vote? Hold on, Reg.
You
gonna vote Democrat? You're going to vote Democrat after they pimp-slapped y'all last week by endorsing Hagan.
I ain't going to endorse no Republican, but that's we on a different thing now.
Same thing.
No.
And I ain't saying all Democrats are right.
Same thing. You have a very racist culture amongst Democrats.
Tracy, you taking me into politics.
It's the same thing. You don't want to make the women. You don't want to sell them a robe because you don't like what they do with the robe that you sell them.
Right.
Okay,
but you're gonna vote for them when they're gonna
come back and put you back in chains. Come on now.
What did you say that last part? What did you say?
But you're gonna vote for them, and you know that they're gonna put y'all back in chains because they don't think you're worthy of anything else, and you're gonna follow them to a T.
That's a horse of a different color, as my mother would say.
You got the Secretary of Agriculture saying the inner city black kids don't know what a tomato looks like.
But Reggie, it's even deeper than that. It's the fact that the Democratic Party in Mahoning County is promoting racism. They went with this woman against a qualified black candidate because anytime they go to white people because they know white people are going to vote for the white people. They're promoting racism in the Mahoney County Democratic Party, and I'm a Democrat saying this. It breaks my heart to say it, but it's true. So you'll vote for them knowing that they're promoting racism, but you won't take money. You won't feed your family with the money that comes from you selling somebody a Ku Klux Klan robe. That makes no sense. If you're going to vote for them, you might as well take their money while you're at it.
And that's what I'm saying.
No.
I'm going to treat you right.
No, I can't do that.
I'm going to treat
can't
you right.
Do that.
Listen, I'm going to treat you right. Now, you can't. Now, let me say this. I'm going to say it like this. Now, when you come into place, you can't wear your robe. And when you're going to respect me in my shop. And you're not going to call me the N-word. And you might call me Miss Tracy. You're going to respect me as a human being because I'm going to respect you. And if you want me to make your hood, I'm going to make your hood. And I'm going to charge you for it if I have all the elements to make your hood. And you're going to treat me with more respect than you treated most other white folks, or black folks, or white folks, as I make this. And if you're willing to do that, I'm bad enough to make it for you. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I ain't going to your rally.
It ain't going to happen, though, Trace. In the bizarre world, the other world.
But this is not the
same. It might happen, but in this one, it ain't.
I mean, that's what this is all about.
Hold on, Reg.
That's what this boils down to. Should the state be able to force you to do it?
613, it's not about the state forcing you. It's not about the state forcing you. There should not be a law. But I should have the right to refuse. But in the right to refuse, I should not be able to single out the refusal based upon who you are. Making me come to your same-sex marriage is one thing, but refusing to serve you because you have your same, just like coming into a restaurant. And if I have a restaurant and I'm a Christian restaurant because I'm a Christian, and you sit down to eat and I decided I don't want to serve you because you and your husband are sitting there together, do I not serve you food?
What if I own a crush?
The thing is,
we're dealing with law here, and you have to have equal equal protection
under
the law.
So when you come into my restaurant, and you and your boyfriend sit down
and start kissing all over each other,
then I put a sign up: no kissing in the booth. But I'm just saying, I serve everybody, and I'm going to say, I'm sorry, but I can't serve you because you're gay.
Right. 513.
Your mic is on.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Canada.
Well, welcome
to
Ohio.
John Christopher Sutton speaking. Oh, thank
hey, John
you very
Christopher
much.
Sutton.
Pleasure
hey,
to be with you.
I see you here in my chat room.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
What's your comment?
I hear where you guys are coming from, but you're missing the one thing is, we're all supposed to be united in Christ, and when you're united as Christians in Christ Jesus, there is no more black and white and yellow and all that stuff is done away with because we are one. We're like-minded and we are one. And it doesn't matter whether you're black or white. It does matter whether you're gay or not, though. I mean, because that is an abomination to God. Yeah, of course. It's against God. Anything that is not of God is an abomination to God and is of the devil. It is sin. And
but the
we
question
as Christians,
is, but how do you treat them?
Oh, you treat them fine. You don't go against them because we're not against the person. We're against what
it's
they stand
sin.
For and what they're doing. But we try to, talk to them about it. Amen?
Amen. And let me say this. When I get done ministering to them, they may not like, probably don't want me to feed them or clothe them or do their wedding and or their flowers or stay at their wedding.
That's right. That's right. But that's their decision. Just like my wife and I run a garment repair shop. People bring in their clothing to get it repaired or altered, whether they gained weight or lost weight or whatever, But in some cases, my wife will refuse to work on certain clothing because the clothing is too dirty and the clothing is beyond repair. And the people do get insulted and they never return. But, but my wife is doing them a favor. Like one guy brought a bunch of stuff in that he had for 40 years. It was decaying. And my wife couldn't even repair it because it was falling apart in her hands. And she told the guy, this is unrepairable. You can buy better stuff at the Sally Ann for less money than I can repair it for you. Well, the guy got insulted and walked away. But we're doing a service, and we would rather provide the guy with a service telling him the truth and save him some money, rather than take his money and say, that's what we can do for you, take it and leave it, goodbye. No, we don't do that. We treat the person with respect and we tell them the truth. And even though we lost a customer, we did the right thing. Amen?
Amen. I mean, and I agree with that. But I'm just saying there's a respect thing that has to happen here. And if it doesn't happen, we lose. Hold on just a second. 787, your mic is on.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. I just want to go back to something you said when you were talking about the girl being having her kid christened or whatever.
Yeah.
You said the pastor wouldn't do it openly in front of the congregation, but he did it privately.
What they do is you can bring, at my church, you can bring your child in for christening. But
yeah,
if
I know
you are,
I heard the whole story. I know what you're
talking
about.
Okay, but because some people may not. If you are a single parent, you will not do it in the middle of the church service.
Okay.
It will be done in an off service. You can bring your family and you can bring anyone that you want, but it will not be done before the congregation.
Single parent or out of wedlock parent.
Single parent out of
wedlock.
And I want to verify that.
Say your spouse dies while you're pregnant.
No, it's out of wedlock.
Go ahead. Okay. But you said that if you had like a catering company, you wouldn't send your crew or whatever because they would have to be there or something like that. You said right.
What I said was, if my crew, if I have a catering company, we will not stay at your wedding ceremony and serve. Now, we'll cook food and drop it off. We'll cook food and drop it off and all that kind of stuff and make sure that it's there and it's right. But for I will not make people stay there all day long and work.
I guess.
At a homosexual wedding.
But what you'll do in a private christening or whatever, you'll still have your crew there, right? The pastor's crew is still there. What's the difference if he does it in private?
No, caller, you're comparing apples. No. You got two different stories.
No, I'm going off what she said.
She's talking about. No. When she was talking, the catering analogy was dealing with a homosexual marriage, not with catering a christening.
What we think is wrong, right? We're talking about being involved in something that we disagree with, right?
This is the issue. The child's life, me blessing a child. I'm going to be praying for that child, and it's not the child, and I'm praying
the
for
child
the mother.
Is totally innocent of anything
right.
The parent.
And I'm going to pray for the parent to govern the child effectively, and in the eyes of God. But the public display is an affirmation of how that child was actually brought into the world. So if a child was conceived out
no,
of wedlock,
not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. The Christmas
yes, it is.
Blessing,
yes, it is.
The blessing ceremony. Well, I don't know about your church.
Well, here we go.
But the blessing ceremony at my church has nothing to do with the parents other than, okay, you are the parent. You are charged
Steve,
by God.
It is a ceremony. It is a public ceremony. Who has the radio up?
Who has the radio up?
I don't have one at all.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead,
877. But what I'm saying though is, if you're still giving the blessing, then what is the difference?
It is a public display of affirmation. You have to realize when people get their child christened, it is a ceremony of public display. So would you bring you bring people that ain't never been to church to church that day so that you can see their baby, their grandkids, and they all come that Sunday to watch this baby get christened. And it is a celebration for that family. It's like a baby shower. Baby showers for children who. Baby showers for unwed mothers, I don't condone.
I understand. I get you.
And so that's what we're saying.
I was just trying to understand what was the whole point of saying that you wouldn't do it publicly, and you saying that I can invite whoever I want to come. Wouldn't that still be publicly? What if everybody
no.
in the church came?
No, no, no.
I'm just trying to make a point. If you say that as a man of God, your child, so you're basically saying your child can't be blessed publicly unless
no,
it's
your
family.
Your child will not be blessed before the congregation in a Sunday worship service.
Oh, okay, in a Sunday worship service.
Right.
I guess.
We do it outside of worship service, but it will not be a public display of a public worship service. Because when we do families of husband and wife that came in that union. But if you just went out and had a baby, we do not do it a part of the worship service that Sunday. But we will do it after service. We'll do it the next day.
I got you. But I think that's probably the part that most people didn't understand because, you know, this story, this ain't nothing new because I heard about the story when it came out. But basically, you won't do it during worship service. I don't think most people understood that because I think most people just thought that it was like kind of a double standard or, you know.
No.
You know what I mean? Just like I was thinking, I didn't have the total understanding that it wasn't, it just wouldn't be in worship service, you know?
It won't be in worship service. The worship service on Sunday morning. Now, you can do it on Sunday after, between services. You can do it in the chapel, but it won't be during worship service. You might even do it in the pastor's office, but not during worship service.
I got you. Because all that stuff didn't come out like that. They was just trying to bash my man, you know. You know, like he was just wrong for not, you know, but I totally understand what you're saying. It can't be a part of worship.
I still feel that it's wrong.
Having said that, I don't think because when you're worshiping, you know, I can understand that because that should be somewhat sacred. You know, we don't want to sit here. I mean, and a child being born out of wedlock, you know, ain't really considered you know, it ain't considered right.
You're blessing the child.
But you're but the family
action
is celebrating.
The bless it doesn't matter. But the blessing is for the child. Not the family.
The child don't even know. We're gonna pray for the child, and as a matter of fact, the mother of the child, we're going to support, and we're going to do whatever's necessary to help her. But the issue is,
we're not shunning her child, Diva.
People need to understand, children that are born out of wedlock should not be condoned by society the way that they are, because all we're doing is causing more children to be born out of wedlock, and that's how you can have five with no daddy.
But the fact is, you blessing a child in the way that you have blessed another child of a married couple, and you're going to do it in private?
We're not doing it in private. You can bring who you want to.
Well, you're just not doing it
on Sunday morning worship service.
I totally agree with that.
Like I said, you need to have a whole story before.
Your pastor doesn't like everybody else. We accept everything now. We don't accept everything.
My church does what your church does. Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, my pastor doesn't. If you're shacking up, he won't marry you.
Neither will mine.
He don't marry everybody.
The only way our preacher will marry somebody who's shacking up is you have to separate until wedding day.
There has to be standards. But then we still wear hose to church and can't wear slacks.
So if they go to the justice of the peace, will they acknowledge their marriage then?
They acknowledge their marriage. It's not about the marriage. It's about the ceremony. But you can't live in a life that is totally opposite of what you believe, but then want everybody to come in to affirm what you do. And that's what, even with this.
We don't practice the root of Christianity with the faith and belief of Jesus Christ and what the work is doing at the cross. We worry about what everybody else is looking at.
And you're right. We're worried about what everybody else is looking at, so we have dropped our standard. We need to tell people to keep their legs closed, keep their pants up until they get married, but we don't do that. That's why we keep on pointing to homosexuality, but we don't want to point to fornication.
Right. We forgot the whole part about go and sin no more.
See, we forget. We want to say that all homosexuals going to hell. We can't marry you. We don't want to feed you. We don't want to clothe you. We don't want to be at your wedding. But yet we will go to somebody's, you know, whatever, serve them, have their, whatever they want to do, and they will be shacking up and fornicating all over the place, and we want to affirm that. Come on now. But we want to make laws about one and not about the other.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got a couple coming to our church that's shacking up, nobody's going to affirm what they're doing is right. We're not going to shut them. We're not going to tell them you can't come to church. But there isn't anybody in a place going to tell them what they're doing is right. And they will not be married in the building until they separate.
And so what I'm saying to you, Diva, I mean, and the callers and people that are listening, I mean, yeah, you know, we're right. And so when we talk about what's going on in Arizona, you know, we can't serve them because they're homosexuals, but you go out and you throw a party for people that you know are living in sin, and you call yourself a Christian because I can take pictures here, but I won't take pictures there. That's a problem. I'll take pictures of your baby who you got by somebody else's husband, and I'll take pictures of you and the boyfriend and the mama and the baby. And I know that he's married to Johnny, but I'm going to take a picture anyhow. But I won't come to your wedding. Come on, that's just some crazy stuff. All sin is sin.
I hadn't looked at it that way. You got a point there.
So we need to shut up.
We need to quit picking and choosing which sin we like and which sin we
absolutely
don't.
Absolutely. And we're not going to do that.
Well, it's a spiritual stretch. I mean, it forces you to challenge yourself every day. And
South Carolina, your mic is on. Your mic is on. I'm just saying we need to be mindful.
Right. I agree.
We want to pick it. You know, okay, you can do that. We won't do that. But I'll get you drunk from here to next year and take pictures of you sliding down the wall. But if you're gay, we can't do that. Come on now.
I never looked at it that way. I mean.
I'm a Christian. I don't condone that. What'd you say, Mike?
I was going to say the Democrats should turn it into a profit center and tax it. They ever call it sin tax.
Don't give me any ideas.
This is all about, this is all about semantics and syntax.
So I don't.
Well, I mean, yeah. Personally, I think that the state needs to get out of the marriage business altogether.
That's not going
to
happen. Too much money.
Amen.
Too much money.
No, Diva. When I say that get out of the marriage business altogether, I mean you do not go to the state and get a marriage license.
Too much money.
Exactly. It should be
too much money.
Dealt with the church.
Too much money. Can you save $65?
Hey,
well, that's the same reason we have to have water bills.
Listen to this. Listen to this, guys. We want to talk about equal rights and marriage people and all that kind of stuff. When you go down to get married, you want to see what they ask you for.
I know. Mm-hmm. That's the root of marriage licenses in the United States was laws against interracial marriage. That's where the root of it came from.
And communicable diseases.
Yeah, because you used to have to buy
and,
you don't have to do that anymore.
And, of course, legal contracts, since much of your credit is linked when you're married, so now that's a public acknowledgement that you are married, and it's a matter of public record. That's how the state gets involved in that, so that your bank can hold you financially responsible for the debt to your spouse, all that other stuff.
Not any longer.
Not so much anymore. I mean,
anymore.
I've seen a lot of
it's
people where
still.
One person's got crappy credit, one person's got good credit.
No,
that never comes.
So they get a house mortgage for them from the. It's
right.
And I don't know how they do this. The
you
mortgage
no longer
is,
have to have both.
The mortgage
you can
is written.
Do that. Stick,
the mortgage
you can
is written
do that.
To the good.
Yes, you can
good,
do but, that, but you see, you have to initiate that plan. There is a thing called unjust enrichment, and there is a thing called matter of necessity under the law. And if one spouse may not be on your credit card, but if you were buying groceries, they can still sue that other spouse saying, hold it, didn't you eat those groceries? Didn't you benefit? That was a necessity.
Not any longer, Mike.
It may
change from state to state, but not everywhere.
Yeah, state to state. I mean, it used to be that the oldest son was responsible for his father's debts upon death.
Well, that's...
Hold on, Mike. 221, your mic is on.
I've been listening to your show, and I hope I'm on the air at this time. One of the things that I see that nobody is really going back to is what does the Lord say about homosexuality and the punishment of homosexuality? But what did he say about the punishment of homosexuality?
In the Old Testament or the New Testament?
Yeah. Okay, we'll take either one. What did he say about
the punishment? The Old Testament is brutal.
Rock him to sleep.
If he put the death.
Yeah, and the Old Testament was rock them to sleep. But it was the same, and we got to be honest here, that was the same punishment for fornication.
And the adultery, I mean, you got to be, because we'd be killing everybody.
A disobedient son, you could rock your disobedient son to sleep.
That's where grace and mercy comes in.
I mean, the old Jewish law, I'm glad I was never an old Jew.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
my daddy to rock me to sleep.
Long time ago.
12 years old.
But again, we're supposed to hate the sin and love the sinner, and we want to pick and choose what's hate and what's love and who we love and who we hate and who we choose to hate and who we choose to love.
And we also,
I mean, we coddle abortion and we keep our mouth and our eyes shut to a whole lot of stuff, but because this is an easy choice, we throw eggs at it.
And,
you can't do that.
And we don't have the nerve to tell people go and sin no more.
I mean, tell them go sin no more. Go ahead,
two to one. Yeah, let's stick back with where we started at, homosexuality. And
yes,
deal with one thing at a time. See, we are not, as Christians, obeying what God has told us. Because had we obeyed, and I listened to Diva, see, she's among the most of the Christians who now sanction just about everything the world sanctions. And they put it under this banner of love. But when you can't separate evil from the person, what does God say he's going to do in the final judgment?
He's going to take you out.
That's right. And so we have chose to step on the side of Satan rather than staying on the side of God. And remember when Moses was out in the wilderness and they rebelled, and he told them, said, well, all those that fall, whatever it was, I forgot now what it was, said, step over on this side. So it's for all those against, step over on the other side. And the earth opened up and swallowed all those who was against them. So I hear people talk about the New and the Old Testament, and I'm doing some writing on that. But I want to get with you later on and talk about some things. I missed you last summer, but I hope to catch up with you this summer. But
okay.
Thank you very much. And
you're
try
welcome.
And stick with what God has ordained.
We forget. You just can't go around killing people.
No, yeah. And
but let me say this: we need to understand that love. You know, we talk about God's love, and we forget about God's wrath.
Well, yeah, Paul made a whole list of people that's not going to inherit the kingdom. I mean, it wasn't just homosexuals. There was gluttonous and drunkards and fornicators and. Just about 9/10 of the population of the United States is on that list.
That is true.
Yep.
And all of them are Christians.
We want to stick with one thing at a time. There were nations that was wiped out because of their sinful habits among the population. The whole population was wiped out. So
we're headed there now.
But is one sin more egregious than another?
Because let me say this.
Because my Bible says all sins are the same.
Let's look at what's going on in California right now. They didn't found a new disease that they don't know what it is. It's crippling children. It's only in California, and it looks like it's a strand of polio.
But all the kids with polio vaccine are still getting it.
That's what I'm saying. And nobody knows what it is.
But one of the big things is we're not obeying God's laws. And what we need to do is have the mind of God that says, this is right and this is wrong. If we do
that,
and this is what the Arabs are doing, and when the Muslims come over here, this is the demand that they are going to make. And the change is coming because of the charismatic movement. This is what they're sliding on. So, but anyway, it's nice
talking
to you.
Thank you for calling. Have a good day. God bless you. 212, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Eric?
Good. I just called in. I don't know what the conversation's about. I'm just listening.
You just called in because you missed me today, right?
That's all.
Okay. I'll miss you, too, because you missed a good topic all day long. We got to get you that radio. Listen, I saw
that radio, the one with the 8-track player.
Yeah, did you see that? It's tote beat down. And did you guys see the on Facebook the Steve Harvey show that comes on at night, Family Feud?
Oh.
Where the question was, tell us what complaint you have about your wife at night or something, and the two men said no, they wouldn't answer the question. That was the most hilarious thing I've seen in a while. I just sat there and laughed and just shook my head. I'm sorry. I had to get
Hey,
you.
Tracy.
Yeah, Mike.
One time I took a stand at a Catholic church. I was raised Catholic. I took a stand, and I told them that Wednesday night bingo was against the Bible because it's gambling in the church. And I said the only two times Christ, the Prince of Peace, was motivated to violence was the money exchangers in the temple. And I said, there's a clear message there. He said, well, that's, you know, socializing and this and that and this and that. And so the comment that got me thrown out of that church was, well, they asked me not to come back. I was a troublemaker. I said, well, then if you're going to have gambling for those people on Wednesday, why don't you have reefer for the guys that like to smoke on Thursday? Why don't you have some ladies of the
evening? Already there. Don't worry,
men
Mike.
Who are horny on Friday.
We got that. They got it covered.
Yeah. And that's when they told me not to come back, that I had a bad spirit. They would pray for me.
I'm quite sure.
Yeah.
And listen, I want to thank my guests for coming on today. I'm Karen Moreau. I want to thank Diva. Your mic's up still. I want to thank all the callers and all the listeners that called in today. Six, thank you. I'm headed to Columbus.
Jeffrey's all on his own tomorrow.
Oh, that's bad.
Ooh.
No, it's he and Mark.
Oh.
I think
so. It's Jeff.
Mark knows it all.
Mark knows it all.
And
Jeff
knows
everything.
Day. Yeah.
Ooh, that ought to be. I'll be listening.
Don't listen.
I'll be listening.
Don't
Lord
listen.
Help.
Don't. Yes.
I'll be listening.
Because between the two, all y'all are in trouble.
I might just have to come up tomorrow.
Well, they'll be here. Smiling.
Depends what the weather is. I got a lot of work to do, but I ain't working out in this stuff.
Stink bugs don't die, do they? They don't even die in the winter. They hibernate, don't they?
Well, your house is warm. They're going to keep living. I mean, we had what we called patrol flies on the submarine. We'd be out to sea for 40 days, and you'd still have flies floating around.
But stink bugs came out of nowhere, and they need to go back to where they came from.
Well, you had a warm day last weekend, too.
They need to go.
They were hibernating.
They need to go away. They need to go. They need to die and not come back.
I'm sure you can go to a hardware store and find something that'll kill
them.
They
don't have anything that kills them.
Oh, really?
No. And when you kill them, they stink. But they are
now Chloe the Beagle would eat them, and then they'd make her sick.
Oh no, no,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
They really give me the heebie-jeebies. Oh, and just for a point of clarification, I see some stuff on Facebook about Michelle Obama calling people knuckleheads. And let me say this to y'all. You know, there is terminology that white people have and black people have, and even though I disagree with most of the Obamas, knucklehead is not a derogatory term, and it's what we call a lot of teenagers.
I saw the video, and I'm not a big fan of the First Lady, but
you know,
I didn't see anything wrong with it because she's right. Teenagers are mostly knuckleheads.
Yeah.
Young adults.
Yeah.
I agreed with her. I mean, she was. There was nothing wrong. She did it with a smile on her face. She wasn't a malicious comment. It was just pointing out the obvious that, you know, in our teenage years, we don't have the best reasoning power for making good judgment decisions.
That's true. And I pick up, you know, I pick on the Obamas enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, knucklehead is not, you know, a mongrel, you know, knucklehead, some of the stuff. You hear a lot of this coming up and growing up. It might not have been the best choice of words because she's a First Lady. They're picking apart everything that she says, but let's really understand.
Yeah.
My wife still calls me a knucklehead, so what's the big deal?
That you follow me? That's what I'm. That is exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm at the end of the day, guys. I'll see you guys on Jeff and Mark will be here tomorrow on Friday. I may call in tomorrow. You never know. I might surprise.
You should.
I may do that. I'll be rolling. Because I'm not leaving until tomorrow morning. Early.
How early?
Early. But it won't be early enough
that
the show will be on.
You plan on being in Columbus in time for opening bell?
Bell of what?
Oh, Tracy, you're coming to Columbus?
Yes, I'm coming to Columbus. I'll be down there.
How long will you be in town?
Thursday and Friday.
How about lunch?
Give me a call and let me know. I got to check my schedule. But I think
okay.
I may have some time. I don't have time Friday, I know. But Thursday, tomorrow, I may have some time. It all depends what they tell me today for my schedule on Thursday.
Have your people call my people. Remember when Tracy was just an ordinary person?
Right.
No. You missed my point. No. You missed my point. My people. I got to go. But my people still are me because I'm still my people. Six won't take my calls. And schedule me. He won't do it. I don't know why. Listen, I love you guys. We'll see you guys on tomorrow.
ACEY and friends.
Hey, Diva.
Hello.
I just had to pick on her for doing that to you. No, she meant it sincerely, but it sounded so Hollywood, didn't it?
What? Oh, yeah.
Have your people called my people for lunch? Yeah, like.
She said, no, she
me.
Said.
I know,
she
didn't
said,
say
call
that.
Me.
I know, that's what we heard. I know, but.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, folks out in the audience don't necessarily know that we have Tracy's number and we can talk to her, and she's very accessible. They don't know that, but it's out
right.
They wouldn't.
Right.
You poor dear. Nobody would let you finish a sentence today. I heard that. And it's going like, wow, at least let Diva finish a sentence. You know?
It's okay. I'm used to it.
You know, the problem is being a Christian, being a Muslim, being a Jew, being even an atheist, I guess, is a journey. You don't have all the answers at any point in your life. Hopefully a year from now you'll be a little wiser and have another answer or two, but you'll still have more questions, you know. No one's got it nailed down perfectly.
That's true, but what I don't agree with is someone singling someone out and assuming something about them because you hear a snippet. I'm sorry, I don't agree with pastors blessing children behind closed doors, not because it's something that the Bible says you have to do, but it's because it's something that they feel. It's how it looks, how it's perceived. That's what I have a problem with. Because as Christians, we are supposed to adhere to the Bible, and what does Christ say about when how people treat the least of these, the little children?
Yeah.
Say about the little children. So a blessing is not about condoning the sexual act of an unwed mother, because there's nothing about her act in that blessing. at least not my pastor. I mean, I don't. It's not a big celebration at our church. It's not a real big celebration. It's not a big to-do. He just calls the parents up and the godparents and the families up, and he just speaks a blessing over the child.
So
why do that in secret if that's all it is?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't. It doesn't make me affirm that.
I've never felt strongly on the topic either way until today. I never even heard it debated, so I don't know. I haven't had time to sort this one out. If it was like you say, the father and mother got up, well, okay. But, you know, the problem is too many times it's only the mother standing there these days. You know,
that's true, and even if it is still the mother, still only speaking a blessing over the child.
Oh, I understand.
And why not take this as a lesson? You know what I'm saying? Like my pastor will take the unwed mother into his office, and he will talk to her. He'll have a talk with her. He's not about standing in front of the congregation. He'll have a talk with her. So if you already had a talk with her, you already admonished her and corrected her on her behavior.
Yeah.
So now on top of that, you're going to say, well, I can't bless your child publicly because it looks bad. It looks like I'm affirming what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with the Bible. Mm-hmm. And that's where we have a problem with religion, is that we get too much on focusing on what the outside world thinks of us and how they look on us. And so we make all these rules and regulations, and then we get away from the Word of God.
When I was very young, I went on a journey for a number of years to discover the truth. And I studied 22 different religions, attended their services, tried to understand, but sooner or later, all of them end up in dogma. Sooner or later, they got good teachings, they got good philosophies, but sooner or later, the influence of who's heading up the church, or who are the deacons, or who's the board of directors, or, you know, who's the council, you know, sooner or later, man gets into all of them, you know? And so over the years, I developed a philosophy similar to what George Burns said in the movie Oh God, when they asked what was the true religion. He said, none of them. He said, I created man. Man created religion.
And it's true, because it's not supposed to be like this cult-like following.
I know. And see, that's why people pick churches when they get older and stuff. They go, oh, there's a church that already thinks the way they believe, so they fall into it. And you're right, it's a cult following. And if you don't say the magic words at the temple, they shun you. They throw you out. And I see it in many of the religions, and I won't mention any, but it's just right. So here's what I do. I try not to hurt people. I believe in the miracle of Jesus Christ, because I choose to accept that as reality and truth for me. And I figure out anything I really need to know, God will enlighten me somehow. And someday, if I need to know it, he'll tell me. And until then, you know, I just live my life trying to be as good to people as I can be. Am I perfect? No. Do I make mistakes? Yes. Fortunately, I'm blessed, because at this point in my life, I've never hurt anybody beyond the point of a simple apology taking care of it. You know what I mean? So I'm glad of that fact, you know, because that would bother me if I really hurt somebody, you know. You couldn't make amends and set it right, you know. It's a complicated subject, and that's why I don't discuss it. Matter of fact, I was offered a radio show several years ago, and because I told them, I don't want to discuss politics, I don't want to discuss religion, and I don't want to discuss sports on the show, because I can't think of three more things that you end up in useless go-around arguments over. And they actually liked that, and we had a whole different format, but then my producer had a stroke, and I stayed loyal to him, and by the time we realized he was never coming back from the stroke, they rescinded the offer, because I waited like 8 or 10 months for him to get better, and it didn't happen, But, you know, Monday night, you want to have an argument? Go to any bar in America and argue either sports, religion, or politics. And you can have an argument anytime you want. And I life's too short for that. No, just be good, you know. There's enough good stuff in the Bible that just says about how to treat other people and stuff, and just walk down that road and work harder on yourself. Never mind what other people are doing. Just work hard on yourself.
If everybody would just focus on making themselves better, the world would straighten out.
Yes, exactly.
Instead of trying to improve everybody else. You know what's wrong with them? Oh, here we go. I know whenever somebody starts a sentence that way. You know what
right.
they need to do? Oh, here we go. It's another one of those
Firstly,
they need
I
to.
Don't focus and worry about non-believers or what they think of me.
Yeah.
You bear no factor on my beliefs and how I walk out my beliefs, nor
yeah.
my faith. You don't believe as I do, that's fine. But I'm not going to sit there and focus and worry, oh, I got to do this way, I got to do this that way, because they're looking at me.
Yeah. Well,
how about I just walk in righteousness and walk with God
mm-hmm.
and that and let that be that?
Yeah.
Let
and
them
I,
see.
Yeah, and I agree with you that to the best of my understanding and the best of my abilities and to the best use of the resources that I've been blessed with, I will try my best to walk on a moral, spiritual principle with God. And then beyond that, I just can't do any more than I'm humanly capable of doing other than to continue to be open-minded to seek truth. And that's pretty much it, you know? But, no, I just that's why I stay kind of quiet on some of these debates and things because it just goes too much around and around and around, and nothing gets resolved.
You got Christians pointing fingers at other Christians. Well, you're not a Christian.
Right.
You're not saved
right.
enough because you don't think on the same level as I do.
Oh, I mean, I had to go down the debate about, Catholics are cannibals because they really believe they're drinking Jesus's blood and eating his body, and and I've heard that. And there was no wine at the Last Supper; it was grape juice, and it was yeah, well. I don't know how you keep grape juice from not fermenting in 100-degree
right.
death heat, but that's okay. If you had refrigeration, God bless you. You were one of them special Jews in those days.
right.
But I just, okay, fine, if that's what you choose to believe, it's just, why argue it? Why argue it?
Oh, my gosh. So I had an interesting Facebook discussion started by Jeff Green.
Oh, geez. Okay.
About evolution.
Evolution. Okay.
And we share mutual Facebook friends. And this guy is very intelligent. He's analytical. And he's a science geek.
Yeah.
And he used to be a believer, but whatever happened, he switched. He stopped believing. He said he went through an anthropology course.
Yeah.
It changed his mind on creationism.
Yeah.
So I get into this long discussion with one of his friends.
Yeah.
And he said something, and I was like, the one thing I can't get past my mind is how you guys assume that we had evolved from apes, monkeys, chimps, and all that. Just because we may share similar DNA,
mm-hmm.
and just because we may share similar characteristics, there are a lot of things in this life that share common DNA and share common characteristics, but they're
right.
not one and the same.
Right.
They didn't come from anything. So
well,
as this discussion is continuing and continuing and continuing,
yeah, the big
he goes on
man.
To say, he says a horse and a donkey can interbreed, and their DNA is at 97%. And he mentioned another group of species that could interbreed, and their DNA was at like a 96. And then he said chimps and humans' DNA are at 99%. So I said, well, why aren't chimps and humans able to interbreed? He couldn't give me an answer. I said, but our DNA is so much closer.
Yeah.
But yet, there's not been a successful insemination of a female chimp with human male sperm or vice versa, mm-hmm. or a human with chimp sperm,
uh-huh.
vice versa. So explain that in your scientific theory of how we evolved from some type of primate.
Yeah. Well, Diva, the main argument against evolution right now in the scientific community is the fact that there are some major holes in the evolutionary chain And it's not minor, it's major. Like, they always used to talk about the missing link. Well, to just about every species, there are missing links. And these are large gaps of time in the fossil record where, geez, we have fossils on this, and we have fossils on that. And then we could skip 50 million years and find fossils, but for 50 million years we find nothing in between there, not a fossil on anything. That's highly unlikely, because you should have found the fossil of people that had four fingers as they moved toward developing five fingers. You should have found those fossils, you know, because most animals have three toes or claws. You know, somewhere there was a four, and they can't find any of that. There's major holes, so they do these great leaps of faith. And I'm a scientist. I'm a physicist. That was my background. And so I believe in science, but I also believe in stop convoluting the evidence that's facing you in the face. There are many holes in the fossil record that do not explain themselves.
I had to explain to him. I said, I believe in science. He said, don't get me wrong. I believe in science. For one, science explains God and his way of thinking when he started creating
right.
everything and how he put great detail into everything.
Right.
You know, that's what makes it so beautiful. It was science is his blueprint. But don't tell me, make this leap that we are from, we've come from apes. Because like I had to explain to him, I said, how is it that he gave me two species, the Australopithecus
uh-huh.
and the Ardipithecus, and they're these species that look human and look like a mixture of human and ape,
mm-hmm.
but they walk upright.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying that humans and apes came from these two species. And I said, well, what happened with the gene? Was there a gene mutation? Because now apes don't walk upright. Right. They don't even talk. How do we go from both of us coming from this one species, one set learned to talk and the other didn't?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No answer for that. And I said,
well,
these are questions that science cannot answer for me, but the Bible can.
Yeah. Well, there's just a lot of strange things. Like, most scientists will tell you that the dinosaurs died out millions of years before there was any men on the earth. Except in recent years, they have found footprints in the fossil record where a dinosaur footprint is stepping on a human footprint. Now, how did the human footprint get under the dinosaur footprint?
Exactly.
If there were no people here, you know, that's scientifically impossible. So there's just a lot they don't understand. And the real answer will come down to when you invent a time machine, go back in time. But you know what? Even if we went back in time and filmed it and brought it, you'd get people arguing about that like they do about every video on YouTube. You know? So if I had a time machine, though, I've made up my mind. I'll go back to the day Kennedy was shot and get the truth on that, and I'll go back to Jesus' times. Other than that, I don't think there's much else that human history really needs to sort out at this point.
Yeah.
It's
so fascinating because I'm the type of person, I consider myself intelligent, I consider myself educated, but I self-educate myself.
Yeah.
You have to break things down in layman's term, and I will get the answer that I want from a person in layman's term, and I find that if you ask someone who, if you keep asking the correct questions,
yeah.
You can start having them question themselves. Because yesterday, the guy was treating me like I was just this Bible believer, going along with whatever someone told me. And I'm like, no, I truly have, I believed everything that science told me up until the point I became a Christian.
Yeah.
But I've always questioned where the beginning started. And science never answered that for me.
Yeah.
Science can never answer how man got here. And it's been for, and then we got into the subject and said, well, how do you know that the Bible is real? And I'm like, see, when you listen to certain people just give you this ideal of what the Bible is, what Christianity is, then you're going to fall for anything. He tried to tell me the Dead Sea, the Bible was written, the King James Bible was written for the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I was like, where did you get that from? Because we all know that the King James Bible was commissioned, was actually the third Bible commission, and it was commissioned by King James VI. Yes. But it wasn't this make-believe Bible, this make-believe book that science wants us to believe. It was based off of passages that were scribed long ago and passed down. And I said, for a long time, you guys made it seem like this book was make-believe, and it was just made up. Now that we have the Dead Sea Scrolls, how do you explain that?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, oh, the Dead Sea Scrolls were made up. I said, but you want me to believe your scientific evidence that we came from apes and monkeys?
Yeah.
I mean, because anybody who's done a elementary, junior high, high school science experiment, if you really want your hypothesis to be true, anybody can skew the data, mess with data to make, you know, to make their hypothesis come true.
Yeah.
But you don't want to question that of your scientific evidence, but you want me to question that of the scientific evidence that was found to support my what I believe.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting conversation. Then we got on, I guess, do you know what a chimera is? A human chimera?
No.
Or a chimerism?
No.
Okay. I didn't know what it was either until last night. The one thing about me is when someone mentions something that I don't know, I will go look it up.
Uh-huh.
And I found out that human chimerism is when you have two different cell types in one body, basically one person, one organism carrying the cellular makeup of two people.
Uh-huh.
How that happens is usually in a case of fraternal twins, you have a dominant egg, fertilized egg, and you have a weaker fertilized egg, and sometimes that egg will absorb, the dominant egg will absorb the weaker egg.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the fetus, the embryo fetus, starts to absorb that other twin's cellular makeup. And so either the person is born with two types of cells in their body, in their bloodstream, or they have some type of, like if it's a fraternal twins, a boy and a girl, you can have a boy who can end up with his sister's ovary, parts of the other twin that was absorbed.
Uh-huh.
It's so fascinating. So
yeah.
He was trying to use that as a way of proving that two unfertilized eggs could create a human baby.
That's not what that proves.
Yeah, and he had to say, wait a minute, he had to backtrack. Because all this time he was just trying to make me seem like I didn't know what I was talking about. He was smarter than me because he believed in science and religion and faith, and Christianity is just hocus pocus.
Diva, do they feel that also is a cause of hermaphrodism? Or anything like that?
No, hermaphrodism is different. Hermaphrodism is it doesn't deal with two different cell types. It deals with chromosomes.
Okay.
It's a chromosomal defect.
Okay.
But if you think on the surface, they're similar. And I was like, wow, I'm enjoying this discussion because I'm learning a lot. That's why I like listening to Tracy and Friends, because I tend to learn a lot. Even if it's just to reaffirm what I believe,
uh-huh.
I'm still learning more.
Uh-huh.
And it's just fascinating.
Mm. Oh, I got to run, honey. I got an appointment. I'm already 6 minutes late, but a fascinating discussion. Sorry.
Okay. Well, you take care, Mike.
You too, honey. You take care of yourself. And just hold to what you believe is true until you have proven to yourself it's not. Talk to you
I
later.
I will do that.
Okay, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Saturday, September 3rd, 2012.